Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In June, we're discussing the four-letter words of the writing process. Those are scary words like edit and read and show versus tell. In July, we take a look at marketing and how you can make money with your books.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Guard. All of this in response to the video that went viral of the police killing of an unarmed black man in Minnesota, which has sparked outrage and protests around the country. I have a hot take. I have a blazing hot take on the situation that we're seeing unfolding right now in Minneapolis and beginning to pop up in other places. Here's my blazing hot take. Burning American cities to the ground is bad. That's it. And you would think that would not be a controversial opinion. I tweeted this out. I also tweeted out, I had another blazing hot take that was looting is bad. I tweeted that. I figured nobody could disagree with that, right? Oh boy, was I wrong. We are now seeing people in our public discourse defending looting, defending burning a city to the ground. Why? Well, here's the response I've seen from blue check marks, from media commentators, from people around the country. The response is, sure, looting is bad and burning a city to the ground is bad, but so is police brutality. Yes, of course that's true. Right. What do those two things have to do with one another? They'll say, yes, looting and burning a city to the ground is bad, but so is murder. It may very well have been murder what happened in that interaction between the police and the unarmed man. Yeah, right. What on earth do those two things have to do with one another? Nothing. And yet you've got a lot of condescending white liberals who are pretending that these have something to do with one another, particularly in the mainstream media. And there's a real irony here because the movement that is coming up behind these protests and more than protests is Black Lives Matter. And yet the people who are more likely to be affected by the looting and the burning and all these things are the very black lives that they pretend to protect. Not only is this not helpful, it is actively harmful, it is actively undermining whatever point the protesters are trying to make. And the condescension is what drives me, I think, the craziest about it, because there are people in the mainstream media just making excuses for all of this, excuses that they would never make, excuses that I think portray some deep racial condescension. There's a clip going around of an MSNBC journalist speaking to the camera and saying, actually, things are basically fine here. As you can see and even hear in the background, a massive fire blazing, engulfing the whole screen.
I want to be clear in how I characterize this. This is mostly a protest.
It is not, generally speaking, unruly, but fires have been started.
This is mostly a protest. It's not unruly. Yes. Oh, that behind me? They're torching down the police station. But yeah, look, it's mostly very peaceful. Nothing to see here, folks. Please move along. I want to be careful how I characterize this. New York Times did the same thing. New York Times is running headlines. Minnesota, flames rage in Minnesota. Some wording to the effect of that. Flames rage. Minnesota burning. No, it's not. It didn't just catch on fire like a forest can accidentally. People set the place on fire. I think Van Jones is a left-wing commentator. He's black himself. He went on CNN. And look, obviously, Van Jones and I do not agree politically on most things. You know, he's on the left, I'm on the right. But I think he made a great point here about white liberals, about where the real race problem relies in America. Obviously, I think there's quite a lot of evidence that there is a race problem. There are flames of racial division being stoked right now pretty actively. But Van Jones doesn't lay the feet at right-wingers or conservatives. He doesn't even lay the blame at the feet of actual, honest, true racists in the Ku Klux Klan. He lays it at white liberals, people who more or less are on his own side of the political aisle.
It's not the racist white person who's in the Ku Klux Klan that we have to worry about. It's the white liberal Hillary Clinton supporter walking her dog in Central Park who would tell you right now, people like that, oh, I don't see race. Race is no big deal to me. I see us all as the same. I give to charities. But the minute she sees a black man who she does not respect or who she has a slight thought against, she weaponized race like she had been trained by the Aryan Nation. A Klan member could not have been better trained to pick up the police and pick up her phone and tell the police it's a black man, African-American man, come get him. So even the most liberal, well-intentioned white person has a virus in his or her brain that can be activated at an instant. And so what you're seeing now is a curtain falling away.
You're seeing a curtain falling away from these liberal whites. And he makes a very good point here. You know, he's referring to this situation that took place in Central Park that also went viral. Obviously, in many ways, more farcical than the situation that led to all these protests. The situation in Central Park was basically some creepy guy goes up to a woman and has dog treats to lure her dog away. And then this woman becomes absolutely hysterical, and she says she's hysterical from the beginning. She becomes even more hysterical when she calls the cops, and she keeps bringing up the guy's race. She says, you know, I'm going to call the cops and say that there's an African-American man in a bicycle helmet trying to attack me. And I spoke a little bit on my own show a few days ago about this kind of ridiculous interaction and how absurd it is that the country is now being gripped by something so silly as this. But the point that Van Jones is making here is that white liberals talk a good game about racial equality, but they don't really play a good game. And I think there's a point about the Minnesota protests that people are missing as they try to lay the blame at the feet of Donald Trump. I mean, because everything is Donald Trump's fault, of course. Minneapolis is a blue city. It's a very liberal city. It's got a very liberal mayor. Liberal politicians all over the place, governor, senators. Minnesota is so liberal that it is the only state that did not vote for Ronald Reagan in 1984. 1984, Ronald Reagan won 49 states. The one that they didn't win was Minnesota. And yet, somehow, this is the fault of Donald Trump. This is the fault of conservatives. This is the fault of Republicans. I think white liberals need to take a look at themselves, because I think what you're seeing here and why these riots have been allowed to spread so much is because of a sort of soft racism on the left that ends up being not so soft after all. I'll play you a clip from CNN's Brooke Baldwin. Brooke Baldwin went on TV. She was interviewing a Minneapolis city councilwoman, and she nearly started to cry. This is something that this is a job requirement now at CNN. If you want to be on air at CNN, you have to cry often on television. So she's joined her other friends at CNN and began almost to cry on air because of her white privilege.
I do not condone the looting and the violence. I do fully understand the outrage that people are expressing.
How would you? There are so many emotions as I'm sitting here listening to you. I'm having my own. I'm surprised at my own emotions on TV with you. But I've just as a white woman, aware of my own privilege in this country, I am so angry. And I can't even begin. Forgive me.
No, it's a human emotion, Brooke, and I think what sparks so much outrage is that there seems to be no regard for humans.
So she starts crying on air. Is she really crying or is it a performance? I don't know. I give Brooke Baldwin the benefit of the doubt, say she really was crying. If she really was, you know, maybe CNN should start hiring some professionals who can keep it together while they present news and conduct interviews. Just a thought. But if it was performed, I see a lot of performative guilt and grief around here. My big question on it is, who does that help? What does that do? What's the point of that? You know, there was a piece in the New York Times that came out yesterday, which was talking about the Central Park incident, right? This incident where essentially nothing happened. And this, I called it Karen meets Karen. You know, it was there's this meme going around of typically middle-aged white women who get in everybody's business and ask to talk to the manager and police everybody's activity. And so this is a meme. Now it seems to have transcended racial and sexual boundaries. And then there was this man who was kind of behaving in the same way. And they had this ridiculous altercation, and that was it. The New York Times writes that this woman knew that one distressed cry would call down the weight of white supremacy on this man's black body. And the phrase black body is a strange phrase. It's from the writer Ta-Nehisi Coates. And leftists are using this phrase because they view the world just about material things, just as bodies. You know, I don't want to be called a body. I want to be called a person. Nevertheless, I digress. The problem with the New York Times' analysis is that didn't happen. That didn't actually happen. The woman made the phone call, the distressed cry, but the weight of white supremacy didn't fall down on anybody. It's a good thing, right? We should all be happy about that. Actually, what happened is the woman lost her job, the woman lost her dog even, and the man is totally fine and not only doesn't face any consequences, but actually is kind of heralded as a hero. So there's this big gap between what the left is saying is true and the reality of the situation itself. Nevertheless, we hear these protestations of white privilege and white guilt. What's interesting about that New York Times article is it was written by a woman who wrote a book about white tears. It was called The Weaponization of White Tears. And I'm starting to come around to her point of view, because when I watch Brooke Baldwin, or I watch all this performative grief on air, I notice that the people who are performing this grief aren't doing anything to help the situation. None of that is helping. What they're actually doing through what Michael Gerson would have called the soft bigotry of low expectations is they're saying, okay, you've got protesters overwhelmingly who are black, looting, burning down this city. Let them do it. Let them do it. We would never do those things, we sophisticated white liberals, but we'll let other people do it because we view them as less than we view ourselves. That is a racist attitude. That is a condescending attitude. It is patronizing. These sort of performative, selective griefs are self-obsessive. It's an ugly thing, and I think we're at a very delicate moment right now. We are at a very tense moment in the country. You've got an unprecedented lockdown because of a global pandemic. You've got the media sensationalizing certain stories to pretend that events that are rare, thankfully, are actually political trends and epidemics, stoking racial resentment, very likely with partisan political campaign objectives at it. It's hopelessly irresponsible. It is indefensibly irresponsible. It's being led by the media, and they got to cut it out. We've got so much more to get to. We got to take a quick break. I'm Michael Knowles, filling in for the Ben Shapiro Show. We'll be right back.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles filling in. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. At least you can find me there as long as Twitter is still around. There, that is very much up in the air right now, particularly after an executive order that President Trump has just signed, asking the federal agencies to take another look at whether or not Twitter is violating its role as a technology platform. It could therefore lose its protections that it's got and could go out of business. Why did this happen? It's because Twitter is censoring the President of the United States. Twitter is censoring the White House. Twitter is censoring conservatives virtually all of the time that it's censoring anybody. It's conservatives virtually none of the time that it's censoring people. Is it leftists or enemies of the United States? This is an unfair practice. So President Trump tweets out, with regard to Minneapolis, as we know, Minneapolis right now is burning to the ground. He tweets out, quote, "I can't stand back and watch this happen to a great American city, Minneapolis. A total lack of leadership. Either the very weak radical left mayor, Jacob Frey, will get his act together and bring the city under control, or I will send in the National Guard and get the job done right." That was the first part of his tweet. Then the second part is the one that Twitter decided to censor. "These thugs are dishonoring the memory of George Floyd, and I won't let that happen. Just spoke to Governor Tim Walz and told him that the military is with him all the way. Any difficulty, and we will assume control. But when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Thank you." That was that second part there. Twitter censored. Now, you'll remember a few days ago, they included a fact check for the first time on one of President Trump's tweets. The fact check was with regard to President Trump's point that mail-in ballots across the country on this new wide scale will result in voter fraud. They said that this was disputed or untrue. Ironically, among all the many things that President Trump has said, some of which might be a little bit of an exaggeration sometimes, that point on the mail-in ballots was completely true. It's backed up by hard cases that we've gotten in just the past few days, and it's backed up by thousands of other examples that we've had in recent years. But Twitter decided to fact-check that, meaning contradict him or stifle the reach of his tweet, because they know that this will stop and obstruct a Democratic election strategy that they're going to try to use to up their own chances in November. So that was the context for this. President Trump then sends this tweet out, and they actually censor it. They block it out. If you want to see the tweet, you've got to click a special link and go to another page to read it. And they said, this tweet violated the Twitter rules about glorifying violence. However, Twitter has determined it may be in the public's interest for the tweet to remain accessible, so then you have to click a link and go to another place. First of all, Trump's tweet does not glorify violence. It actually does the opposite, right? Trump's tweet says, I can't stand back and watch all this violence. All of this violence has gone too far. These violent thugs are dishonoring the memory of George Floyd, who was a victim of violence, and he's not going to let that violence happen. I mean, the whole tweet could have just been rewritten, I don't like violence, I don't want to see violence, I'm not going to let violence happen, stop the violence, right? It's the opposite of what Twitter is saying that it is. Twitter's honing in on this phrase, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. I think they're suggesting that the phrase means that if people are going to start looting, then the military is going to start shooting. The reason it's hard to believe that that's what it means is the looting has been going on for days. So it is emphatically not the case that when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Probably what that phrase means in the tweet is just by definition, when looting starts, shooting goes on because there is violence, because they are burning whole buildings to the ground right now. And that is always what happens in these kind of riots. And I mean, you can think back to the L.A. riots in the 90s where people were shot and killed. You can think back to just about every riot that has happened in American history. So that's the first part, is Twitter got it wrong, just like they got it wrong last time. But the second part is this. Do we really want a situation in this country where a handful of big tech billionaires who have a monopoly on the flow of information can silence the president of the United States? Maybe if you don't like Trump, you want that. But what if your president were in charge? What if your guy, right, your candidate gets elected? So you say, Trump is not my president. But what if it is your president? What if a guy that you actually really like is in office and a handful of big tech billionaires censor him? Do you think that's a good situation for our country? Probably not. President Trump, the troller in chief, decided to push Twitter even further on this. So President Trump had the White House account, the official White House Twitter account, retweet what he said, and Twitter censored the White House, the actual White House itself. Is that the sort of situation we want? You know, we the people have come together, form a more perfect union, right? We the people govern ourselves, and we govern ourselves through speech. In a democratic republic such as ours, speech is actually what politics is. We talk to each other, we persuade each other, we get messages across. If you control the speech, you control the politics. The reason that President Trump goes on Twitter, right, he says this often, the reason he does it is so that he can get through the mainstream media, which distorts and perverts and flat out lies about what conservatives are saying, and speak directly to the American people. This helped him win in 2016, and the left is very upset that it helped him win in 2016, so they're determined to shut him down in 2020. We cannot have a situation where these handful of self-appointed dictators, tech dictators, are controlling political discourse in the United States. It is simply unacceptable. President Trump has now signed this executive order to try to fix this. We'll try to get to this a little bit later on in how exactly that executive order could work, because it, rather even than passing a new law or a new regulation, the big point of the executive order is that these big tech companies are very likely already violating the law. They're trying to get legal protections and privileges by pretending to be one thing, by pretending to their users to be one thing, but actually behaving as another thing. We'll get to that in 1 second. Got to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. I'm Michael Knowles, host of The Michael Knowles Show, filling in for The Ben Shapiro Show. We'll be right back.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The View, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
You may have seen the sign. You may have even driven by it today. Hi, I'm Rick Gendra, owner of Gendra 76 on the corner of Cypress and Bocelli. We've been a family-owned automotive care and repair business since 1979. And yes, we still pump your gas and clean your glass. Stop by anytime. Let us show you what old-fashioned service is all about. And try our app to save up to 25 cents per gallon of quality 76 gas.
Reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. Texting is a more powerful way for local businesses to adapt to the new normal. Podium even assists in accepting safe, no-contact payments. Podium is making it easier than ever for businesses of all sizes to get started with their new starter package. Within minutes of signing up, your business could be texting. Go to podium.com/news. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. That's podium.com/news today.
Do you feel hopeless, withdrawn from life, work, or your family? Do you feel as if you're being a burden to everyone around you, or that there is no reason to live? If these are your thoughts, we want you to know that there is help. Understanding the warning signs of suicide and resources available to you could save your life. Suicide is preventable, and SAVE can help. To learn more about suicide prevention, visit save.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles filling in. I'm host of the Michael Knowles Show podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. All the focus right now in the country is on, first of all, the cities burning to the ground. All the focus is on the riots that are going on. And from that, the focus is on injustice that can be suffered by adults at the hands of our legal system. What is being lost in that is a major story that is coming out about injustice being done by our legal system to babies, to people who are not adults yet, specifically with regard to Planned Parenthood. This is a pretty shocking story. Planned Parenthood has been caught breaking the law. Planned Parenthood has now been caught on the record, on tape, under oath, admitting to breaking the law. You probably didn't read about that in the papers, though, did you? You probably didn't see that on CNN or on the mainstream media, did you? No, I bet you did not. And yet we've got the footage. The media are trying to bury this story, but it is clear as day. Planned Parenthood broke the law. Planned Parenthood sold baby body parts for money. You know that. This story came out 5 years ago. Okay. Planned Parenthood broke specifically 42 U.S. Code 289 G2, which, quote, broadly forbids the exchange of valuable consideration for fetal tissue. Means you can't sell baby body parts. The videos came out 5 years ago. Do you remember this? This was on tape. You had undercover investigative journalists catching Planned Parenthood executives haggling over the price of fetal organs, joking about how they've got to drive up the cost because, in the executive's words, she wants to buy a Lamborghini.
What would you expect for intact tissue? What sort of compensation? What sort of...
Well, why don't you start by telling me what you're used to paying? You know, in negotiations, the person who throws out the figure first has got a loss, right? So, I want a Lamborghini. I want a Lamborghini.
This reminds me of when I've tried to buy used cars. When I've sat down and said, okay, well, you know, I don't know, what are you thinking? Yeah, here's my budget, but I don't know, I want to throw out that first number first. And I was not buying a Lamborghini myself. But with the amount of money that Planned Parenthood has been making from this illegal business, certainly a lot of them could buy Lamborghinis. So when that video came out, you know what Planned Parenthood did? They denied it. They denied it. The left does this all the time. They said, oh, no, forget what you saw. Forget what you heard. Just believe what I'm saying. Don't believe your own lying eyes. Planned Parenthood denied it. And then the cojones on these people, they sued the undercover journalist who exposed the videos. Sued for millions of dollars. And you know what happened? A judge who was on the board of a Planned Parenthood ruled in favor of Planned Parenthood. It's almost cartoonish, the amount of injustice that has been done in this case. They get caught doing something heinous. They lie about it. They try to harm the people who exposed it. They get a judge to rule with Planned Parenthood on this very issue, all because the journalist did the horrible crime of telling the truth. What Planned Parenthood claimed, this is how they tried to wiggle out of it. They said they didn't get the money they didn't get the money for selling the body parts. What they did was they got the money as a reimbursement for their donation of the body parts to medical research companies. You see, there's a subtle distinction there, right? It's not like they're charging $500 for this organ and $1,000 for this organ. No, they're just being reimbursed. This was their story. They were sticking to it. Cecile Richards, then president of Planned Parenthood and a ghoulishly villainous woman, went on television many, many times, and she said it's all a big misunderstanding.
Washington Post columnist Michael Gerson has pointed out that charging a fee for this material doesn't...
It's not a fee. It's not a fee. It's actually just the cost of transmitting this material.
Okay, it's not a fee. It's just the cost of transmitting, right? Well, now it looks like they got caught in that lie, too, because the Center for Medical Progress, which are the investigative journalists who exposed all of this, they knew that Planned Parenthood was going to lie. If you are willing to sell baby body parts on the black market illegally, probably you're willing to lie too. So the Center for Medical Progress emailed Planned Parenthood documents outlining specific costs for the body parts, right? Not reimbursements for travel expenses, actual costs per organ. Now Planned Parenthood, we have the video. Planned Parenthood admitted under oath that in writing they agreed to move forward with this sale, actual dollars for actual body parts. Here's Tram Noyan, the director of Gulf Coast Planned Parenthood, getting caught in the lie.
Says that the fee to Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast for a fetal liver would be $750, and the fee for fetal liver and a thymus would be $1,600. This is an email chain between you and Doe 9012, who is the regional medical and surgical services director, who we understand is Diane Santos. Is that your understanding?
Yes.
Do you say, FYI, we're still trying to move forward with this? She responds to you and says, do you want to do this? You respond to her and say, yes, ma'am. Do you remember that exchange?
Not until yesterday.
Okay. So you wanted to move forward with the contract we just saw with those price terms?
Objection. Mischaracterizing the document. Mischaracterizing the testimony. Fake.
Not until yesterday. Not until, okay. Oh, yeah. Did I say that? Whoops. Did I say yes, ma'am? Yes, let's move forward with this. What's the this? Paying specific or receiving specific dollar amounts for specific organs. And even more than that, the body parts had to work. They actually would only pay Planned Parenthood if these were usable, viable organs. So it's exactly like when you go to a store and you buy a sweater, and then you get the sweater home, but the sweater, it's got a tear in it or the sweater doesn't fit, you can go and return it. It's exactly like that kind of commercial exchange. They got caught in the lie. Now, the big question here, and I think this is a very important question for us as we're looking at social media censorship, as we're looking at the election law changes that the Democrats are trying to push, as we look at all of these things, do you think Planned Parenthood's going to get in trouble for this? I don't. I don't think they're going to get in trouble. I know that we now have them on video breaking the law, admitting to breaking the law under oath. I don't think it's going to matter that much. Because in this country, and actually in every country, there are written laws and then there's the practical law. There's the Constitution and the laws as they exist as letters on paper, and then there's how those laws are actually enforced. And sometimes those two things overlap, sometimes they don't overlap. We already knew Planned Parenthood broke the law, but how has that been enforced? Actually, they've only punished the people who exposed that Planned Parenthood broke the law. Planned Parenthood's done just fine. They're doing just fine. There's a difference between the letter of the law and how the law is enforced. Do you think when James Madison was writing the Constitution that somewhere in between the lines in invisible ink, he included the right to abortion that no one knew was in the Constitution until nine robed judges in 1973 discovered that right to abortion lurking somewhere in there and then wrote about it in the Roe versus Wade decision? Do you think that's what really happened? No, of course not. The nine robed lawyers on the Supreme Court just invented a fictional constitutional right to abortion. Do you think, regardless of your feelings on marriage and how we should define marriage, do you really believe that James Madison writing the Constitution secretly meant to redefine marriage in such a way as no one had ever defined marriage before, to include monogamous same-sex unions, but not polygamous unions? But there's monogamous same-sex unions, but nobody figured that out. It was just hidden in invisible ink for 250 years until Justice Kennedy discovered it a few years ago. Do you really? No, of course not. Do you really think, moving past the Constitution, just into the law, there's a big case right now over whether or not Title IX or Title VII protections on the basis of sex will apply to gender identity? You know, so men who think that they're women or who identify and present themselves as women. Do you really think when they were writing the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s that they meant to protect gender ideologies that didn't even exist for several decades after that? You really think? No, of course not. There's a difference here. Difference between the law as it's written and the law as it's enforced. And this ties in with social media censorship. I think the left understands power in this country a lot better than the right does. I think the right, you know, we get very academic when we're talking about power. We know that big tech controls the flow of information around the internet. They control virtually all of it. When three or four people, three or four tech billionaires decide that they want information to flow a certain way or they want to silence certain voices, they can silence those voices. Now they're trying to silence the president. Now they're trying to silence the White House itself, and they can do so with some effect. Okay, now some conservatives look at that and they say, well, I don't know if we can really interpret Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act of 1996 to really separate the difference between a publisher and a platform. I don't know, guys. I saw this from a lot of conservatives actually on Twitter that came out, and they said, look, if we interpret Section 230 of the CDA like this, then down the road, hypothetically, the left could use it against us. That's a true point. That's actually a very good point to make. You're right. Down the line, this could open up the door for the left to use this against us. But I think the counterpoint to that is the left is already using these sorts of things against us. They're censoring the White House, for goodness sakes. You can see it happening in real time. I think the left has this hardcore understanding of power. Okay, the law says one thing, the Constitution says one thing, fine, enforce it. I mean, even consider this. This is an unbelievable story that came out just yesterday. You know that Dr. Fauci, the exalted Dr. Fauci, peace be upon him, Dr. Fauci has, in a way, appointed himself to be our political leader because he dictates a lot of our policies, right? He says we can't reopen, and because he's an expert with a lab coat, we say, okay, we have to give up our political power and we can't reopen. Dr. Fauci now seems to have some religious aspirations as well, because Dr. Fauci told the Catholic magazine America, it's a Jesuit magazine, that churches should not give out Holy Communion. Look, I'm not saying Dr. Fauci is the Antichrist. Okay, I'm joking. But it is kind of weird for this doctor in a white lab coat to tell churches not to give out Holy Communion. All right, that is an abuse of power. That is reaching too far. He says, I think for the time being, you got to forestall that. I don't even blame Dr. Fauci for this. We've given him all of our political power. We have given him now, I guess, our religious power, too. We're failing to see that the government, the civil society, is much broader, much more complex than I think some leftist scientific materialists want it to be. For at least 100 years, at least since Woodrow Wilson, the left has wanted to outsource all of our politics to experts. They say, okay, you just pick the right experts, and you'll have these technocrats who will run the government perfectly. You won't even need to worry about political debate. That's not what America was founded on. That's not what self-government is. Self-government is not pick a few experts and have them run your lives forever. Every aspect of your life, not just give scientific advice, but run the politics, run your religious life too. That's not what America is about. What America is about is self-government. Debating issues, figuring out what priorities we have, figuring out what things we want to prioritize over other things, persuading our fellow citizens, passing laws. When political winds change and preferences change, we can change the laws again. The real power in this country looks a lot different than what we see outlined in the Constitution. The Constitution does not say that Dr. Fauci is going to decide when we can receive Holy Communion. Okay, the Constitution does not say that self-appointed experts, or even politically appointed experts, get to run our lives for us. We need to be willing to exercise political power. We need to be willing to take the opportunities we have. You know, I think a lot of the Trump administration has been about that, but there have been missed opportunities as well. And the left seems dead set on making President Trump a one-term president. So what can we do now? You know, the left is already using those levers of power in ways that are unconstitutional, in ways that are illegal. How much more so are they going to do that if President Trump doesn't win in November? How much more so are they going to do that as we move forward? It makes one realize a little bit that you got to start digging in. You got to start dealing in the political present. You've got a whole lot more in that present to talk about. We got to take a quick break. I'm Michael Knowles, filling in for the Ben Shapiro Show. We will be right back. Don't go anywhere.
all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
That's SAIA.com.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
As an organ donor, your story doesn't have to end. The good in you can live on. In fact, you could save up to 8 lives and restore sight and health for many more. Sign up right now online as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. You'll be happy you did. And just maybe, someone else will be happy too. Go to organdonor.gov. It saves lives. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
So I say again, you racist white people. I said what I said. And if you don't like it, go suck a seriously. Any racist straight up block, it's fine. It's ready. Don't need you on my page. And if you're a fan of me and you support my work and you're racist and you're arguing with what I was saying, you. Yeah? So I straight up like that. That's how it's going to go. And throughout my whole career as an actor, I want to let you guys know this. I'm not the guy. I'm not Hollywood. I never ever left the UK to go and live in LA for over a year. I never did. I'm from London. I'm from here. We have different rules. We're real. We speak truth. Where are emotions on the wrist? I'm also African.
That is John Boyega, who I have been reliably informed is in a new Star Wars movie. I have refused to accept that there is any such thing as a new Star Wars movie, so I don't really know who the guy is. But he is playing into something that the media and the left, but I repeat myself, are trying to push relentlessly and baselessly, which is that black people can't succeed. That's what they're saying. They're saying black people can't succeed. The weight of white supremacy is so heavy. It is so pervasive that there is no way out. We are in a hopelessly unjust situation that demands vitriol, hatred of our fellow citizens or our neighbors, and this kind of violent and what you would call racist rhetoric. And the trouble with that narrative, it's actually a good thing, is that it's not true. So one way you can see that that narrative is not true is that this guy, John Boyega, is extremely successful and beloved by audiences of all different colors. Not by me, because I refuse to accept that there are such things as new Star Wars movies, but by virtually everybody else, this guy has had a great career. He's rich. He's famous. He's well-liked. He's not the only one. There's a similar argument that's been put forward by the writer Ta-Nehisi Coates. Same thing. Basically, black people can't possibly succeed in America. It's a hopeless situation. And Ta-Nehisi Coates, you might know him from winning the MacArthur Genius Grant, from being one of the most prominent writers of his generation, from winning lots of awards and being asked to give lots of speeches and lots of interviews, from being extraordinarily successful and well-liked. Again, not particularly well-liked by me, because I think his commentary is completely off base, but still very, very popular, very, very successful. It's a really damaging thing to tell people that they can't succeed because of their skin. This is not to deny that people have different challenges for a whole host of different reasons, for a whole host of unjust reasons, and that everybody suffers. Not to deny that at all. But when the media sensationalize these sorts of events, they do harm to everybody. What the media are telling you right now is that there is an epidemic of racist white cops killing, slaughtering unarmed black men willy-nilly all around the country. LeBron James said that a black man can't walk out of his door without being literally hunted. That isn't true. How do we know that's not true? Because LeBron James is LeBron James. He's a very successful, very popular guy who gets to go out all the time. The reason that these events, when you see a video where it looks so clearly unjust, or as an example of police brutality, the reason that those go viral, the reason that those become a media sensation, is precisely because they are so rare, which is a good thing. We should celebrate how rare those sorts of events are, but the media can't do that. This is why I don't lay the blame necessarily on a guy like John Boyega. I don't think he knows anything whatsoever about politics. I think he, like virtually everyone else in Hollywood, knows very, very little in the entertainment industry, because he's obviously focused on other things. He doesn't spend his days thinking about politics or reading about politics or reading history or philosophy. He spends his days pretending to be space aliens in movies that I will not accept even exist. So I don't blame him for that. I do blame people at CNN. I do blame people at the New York Times. I do blame people at the Washington Post, because what's so insidious here about the narrative is not that there are not examples of police brutality. Of course there are. Of course there are. First of all, any human institution is going to be flawed. Any human endeavor is going to involve some injustice some of the time. It's the selection and the amplification. Racism is an offense against human dignity. Every good person condemns racism. Who doesn't? Who is going on television saying, I support racism. I'm pro-racism. Nobody, of course. There are, what, about 55 homicides every day in the United States? The bias here, the insidious political agenda, is in the selection of the stories, of blowing them up and making isolated events seem like they are epidemics, like they are national trends, to stoke racial resentment or sexual resentment or any other kind of resentment, to divide people up and get them ginned up and fired up for an election year. Because it is hard to miss that these sort of media sensations always seem to occur right before elections. And look, I get it. Politics is a dirty game. I get it that the left-wing media exist to help leftist political operatives and politicians push forward their agenda. I get it. Real people are being hurt. I don't think the business owner who had his store burned down is thrilled about the social justice of rioting and looting. I don't think the largely black communities that are being burned to the ground are going to be happy about the social justice of this, all pushed by cynical media hacks to push a political agenda. Very shameful stuff. Social justice, not so clear where the justice really lies. We'll take a quick break. I'll be right back. I'm Michael Knowles, filling in for the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life,
your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. A tense night already in Minneapolis and St. Paul, as well as other cities around the country, and what looks like a fourth night of unrest because of following the death of a black man at the hands of a police officer in Minneapolis. I Can't Breathe has become a rallying cry for police protests.
There were protests from coast to coast, including in New York, Washington, Minneapolis, Atlanta, San Jose, California, and Denver. The protest continued even though the now fired police officer, Derek Chauvin, was arrested and charged with murder Friday. I'm Mike Gracia.
Chauvin is accused of ignoring another officer who was worried Floyd should be rolled onto his side. The criminal complaint also says an autopsy revealed nothing to support strangulation. It says the medical examiner concluded the combined effects of being restrained, potential intoxicants in Floyd's system, and his underlying health issues likely contributed to his death. This afternoon, President Trump announced several measures against China, demanding accountability for the spread of the coronavirus, to thwart the Chinese tactical espionage, to increase transparency of Chinese companies which trade on U.S. investment platforms, and to exert diplomatic pressure in defense of Hong Kong.
This week, China unilaterally imposed control over Hong Kong security. This was a plain violation of Beijing's treaty obligations with the United Kingdom in the Declaration of 1984 and explicit provisions of Hong Kong's basic law. It has 27 years to go.
Mr. Trump said the administration would begin eliminating the full range of agreements that had given Hong Kong a relationship with the U.S. that mainland China lacked, including exemptions from controls on certain exports. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the impact of coronavirus and the upcoming election, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word money to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to stay or when to get out. Text money to 411-411 and we'll send you a link to our free demo. Text money to 411-411 so you can better protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point. Don't wait. Text the word money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
The European Space Agency says its solar orbiter probe will pass through the tail of a comet soon, and scientists plan to switch on its instruments early to conduct what they call bonus science.
Launched in February, Solar Orbiter's mission has been to capture the first pictures of the sun's elusive poles. The chance encounter with Comet Atlas wasn't planned, but after being alerted by Britain's Mallard Space Science Centre, ESA is switching the controls to gather data on the trail of dust and charged particles left by the comet. Similar chance flybys through a comet's tail have been recorded just 6 times, and only after the event had taken place. The agency says chances like this are all part of the adventure of science. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
A new report by the rights group Amnesty International accuses Ethiopia's security forces of extrajudicial killings. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Two former chairmen of the Senate Judiciary Committee are calling on the Supreme Court to permanently air oral arguments.
The request comes in a joint letter from Republican Senator Charles Grassley and Democrat Patrick Leahy. Both have had turns atop the powerful Judiciary Committee and say it's time the Supreme Court allows the public to listen in on arguments. It's something that began this month as the High Court took special measures to coincide with the COVID-19 lockdowns, calling it a great civics lesson. The letter says, quote, there's no reason why pro-transparency measures should end when the court returns to its normal functions. Bob Agnew reporting.
Consumer spending plunged by a record-shattering 13.6% in April as the viral pandemic shuttered businesses and forced millions of layoffs and sent the economy into a deep recession. Last month's spending decline was far worse than the revised 6.9% drop back in March, which itself had set a record dating back to 1959. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.com.
If you ask me kindly, I will send you one. There's a big story that's come out of the pro-life or pro-abortion movement, I guess. The story involves Norma McCorvey, better known to you as Jane Roe. Norma McCorvey was the Jane Roe of Roe versus Wade, obviously is responsible and is the sort of name of abortion rights in America. Then, in the 1990s, Norma McCorvey became baptized. She became pro-life. She was a pro-life advocate for decades until her death just recently. But a new documentary is alleging that Norma McCorvey made a deathbed confession where she said that her pro-life advocacy was all a bunch of BS. It was all fake. She did it for money because she got gifts from the pro-life movement. And this is being heralded as a big win for the pro-abortion movement, a big setback for the pro-life movement. Here to help us clear things up, because I noticed that documentary seems a little bit one-sided. Here to help us clear things up is the man who actually baptized Norma McCorvey, Reverend Flip Benham, who converted to Christianity in 1976 and founded Operation Rescue and Operation Save America, whose mission it is to take up the cause of preborn children in the name of Jesus Christ. You've seen Flip on TV and you've heard him on radio. You might also know him because he's the father of my friends, the Benham brothers. Flip, thank you so much for being here.
Honor and a privilege. Thank you.
I've been eager to talk to you because I saw the trailer come out for this documentary, and I immediately thought, wait a second, this seems like they're trying to build up hype. This seems like they're trying to sell tickets to go see the movie. I don't really know if I believe this argument here, but I've got to keep an open mind to it. What do you say to this idea that Norma McCorvey had a deathbed confession and all of her pro-life and Christian advocacy was just BS?
Well, Norma, if you knew Norma, you would understand that she was wildly unfiltered and before she met Jesus and after she met Jesus, but filled with the Holy Ghost as she began to be a powerful voice for little baby boys and girls in this country. And what this is an attempt to do is to rewrite a history, to rewrite the history of what Jesus did in this life. In other words, to sully the image of Jesus, and it's an attack on the gospel of Christ and what Jesus does. And so what they did is they got her in her weakest moments, 3 months before her death, and they started doing some videos. And they began to put together words, and you can do that. You can take text out of context, and it's pretext. And there were true statements, like, as you know, Michael, just in the Bible, we look through the Bible and we see that that Judas hung himself. It says so right in the Bible. Judas hung himself.
Yeah.
And in another place, it says, Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. And then in another place, it says, and what you do, do it quickly. So Jesus therefore said, Judas hung himself, so you go ahead and do likewise and hurry up
right.
And get it done. It's just wrong. And this is what we're dealing with, and we've got to set the record straight.
Well, I really like that example that you're using, because it's something that people do all the time when they're trying to make a shallow argument against the Bible or a shallow argument against pro-life. What they do is they'll take a few words out of context and they'll string them together to make it seem like you're saying what is actually the opposite of what you're actually saying. But so what is your reaction to it, though? Have you seen the trailer? Have you seen the movie? You know, I mean, they are really putting this forward as her saying, yeah, I did it for the money, and that's why
really
I pretended.
She really did say that, by the way.
Right.
She really did. And she really said, you know, some other things in there. But again, they bring and make it a false narrative. It's not true. She did not convert to Christ so she could make money. She converted to Christ because she was confronted by a little girl who kept inviting her to church and loving her. And she gave her heart to Jesus, and she was forgiven of her sins. And when I baptized her in that pool and she came out of that pool, I said, the old Norma McCorvey, Jane Roe, that is dead. And Norma McCorvey now lives. And the enemy is doing everything to sully the powerful and wonderful work of the gospel. And this little 80-minute documentary is that. I mean, they staged her deathbed. You know, you see her on the deathbed. But I know that was about 3 weeks before she actually died. But they made it seem like, I'm leaving. You hear Norma saying that. It's just not true. They said that she was paid $456,000 by us to convert. Well, her accountant, Ron Allen, called me, the accountant for her ministry, Row No More Ministries. He sent me the documents of 10 IRS Form 990 EZs for 10 years from 1998 to 2000, saying that she had, through that 10 years, had made $456,000. And half of that was to expenses. And what they were trying to imply with this thing is that we paid her to convert. Nothing could be further from the truth. We never gave her a penny. We helped her and Connie because the abortionist fired Miss Norma, and then Miss Connie, her homosexual lover, after 3 weeks also came over. So we helped them. They took care of our office. And it was a beautiful thing that God was doing as she was under the reins and then learning the Bible and learning how Jesus really changes a life. And Jesus did that. But the devil, look at what he's doing. Look what they did. Look what the devil did to Jesus. They got him hung up on a cross looking like a criminal. Didn't even look like a human being when the devil got done with him and said, all of this stuff is garbage. He's not a Messiah. Well, yes, he is. He rose from the dead. And one day we're all going to give an account. And yes, Miss Norma gave her heart to Christ. Nobody paid her a penny to give her heart to Christ. She was a broken down, beat up woman who had had many, many years of sexual abuse and homosexuality and drugs and alcohol, and Jesus saved that girl.
You know, this dollar amount that you mentioned, it was, I think, one of the first things that struck me that maybe this documentary wasn't telling the real story here. Because when I think of the pro-abortion movement and the kind of money that flows into the pro-abortion movement compared to various pro-life and Christian organizations, I think that more of the money goes to the pro-abortion industry. This is a major, major industry. They get taxpayer funding. They get the support of the popular culture. They get support of major celebrities. And so I just thought, if this were all just a money-making scam and Norma sold out for $400,000, or after you take out expenses, $200,000, you know, she sold out too cheap, because it seems to me she would have made a lot more money on the pro-abortion side.
Well, Michael, you've hit the nail on the head, and that's what this documentary is. So it takes true statements of Norma. I'm not denying those statements.
Yeah.
I'm not at all. They're real. But she was weak. She was on steroids. Her face was bloated. She had oxygen in her nose. And that is not the Norma that I remember. And I wasn't there with her, but I know a lot of the Catholic girls were there with her as God was taking her home. And her whole family was there, too. Melissa, one of the babies that she wanted aborted but didn't get abortion. Norma never had an abortion.
Well, you know, I've heard from, speaking of the young Catholic girls, I have heard from some of them. I've read some of what they've written on this. People like Abby Johnson and other people who say this just isn't true. This just isn't telling the true story. Could you tell us a little bit about how you got to know Norma McCorvey and the, you know, the story that, that maybe the documentary is leaving out?
Oh, and it did leave out our confrontations because she hated my guts. She would leave messages on her answering machine saying, "Hello, hey, we're over at the abortion mill. We're barbecuing babies. You want some?" I mean, this was just the typical kind of stuff that we would do. She'd spit on us. She was so mad at us. And as we moved to our offices, Operation Rescue offices, right next to her abortion mill, things began to change. As a matter of fact, the media was out there, and I can remember Time magazine saying, "Roe meets rescue, there's going to be violence." But there really was violence, but it wasn't physical violence. It was a violence of her heart. God was capturing her heart. God was taking this broken woman who had written a book called I Am Roe, and that's where things really got bad. I went to her book signing on McKinney Avenue in Dallas, Texas, and I confronted her, but the police kept me way back, so I was probably 100 feet away from her. And I said, "Norma McCorvey, as a result of what you have done, over 35 million little baby boys and girls have been slaughtered in our nation." And I saw her turn around. I saw her walk out, and I didn't know what happened, but I did know this. I saw that my words sunk right in, and so I knew she was hurt. I wasn't sorry for the words that were spoken, but I was sorry that she was hurt, but she had to be hurt. That violence of being confronted with that, and so she left. Well, I made up my mind that the next time I saw her, when we were alone, and she was going to come into that abortion mill, and I was right next door to her, that I was going to apologize to her. And that opportunity happened, and I sat down on the bench right outside of that abortion mill door, and I said, Miss Norma, I want you to know that I am really sorry. I saw when I spoke to you that those words just fell upon you. I don't know what happened to you. I just saw you leaving real fast." And she looked at me, and her eyes began to well up with tears. And she said, I can't tell you, but I just couldn't breathe. I had to get out of there. I didn't sign one book. I just left. And they were all grabbing me, saying, "Norma, get it done." And so that was the beginning of a relationship where 2 months later she had given her heart to Christ. I had the privilege of baptizing her on August 8th, 1995, and the whole world saw a real truth. The truth is that Jesus is the answer for absolutely everything. And once you come as a little child to him, broken completely, he can make you a new creation. All of your sins can be forgiven, cast into the sea of forgetfulness, and now you can live your life for him rather than for you. And that is the testimony. That is the truth of the gospel that sets anybody. There is no pit so deep that Jesus isn't deeper still.
And you hit on this point when you talk about the confrontation, which is even just hearing you talk about it is a really moving scene. You say that you hurt her and you were sorry that you hurt her, but in an intellectual and in an emotional way, sometimes you have to be hurt because the truth hurts, really, is what you're saying.
Exactly. We use the truth. And when she wrote her book, One by Love, that I would suggest everybody read. And if you see any falsity in there, you tell me. It's a great book called One by Love. What does that word love mean? It means I'm going to love you enough to tell you the truth.
Yeah,
I know
right.
that you have a cancer and you're going to die. And I know the great physician that can fix you. All I can do is tell you what's wrong. But once you're broken inside, then God can give you and pour into you his grace and mercy and set you up upon a rock so that you can sing a song. And she did sing that song for little baby boys and girls. And hundreds of thousands of little baby boys and girls are alive today because of what she did, no matter how she ended her life. And she didn't end it well. I know that. But she was bitter. She was upset. And she was a... She was used by the pro-choice community. She was used by the pro-life community in a way. And she used them. She did. And that's just her. But the work that God did through her is amazing and cannot be discounted. And that's exactly what the devil is doing with Nick Sweeney, who made Sex Robots. That was one of his documentaries. Born in the Wrong Body. That was another one. I didn't know he was a blatant, out-and-out transgender homosexual. I didn't have any idea that that's what this guy was when I interviewed with him.
Well, surely anybody who would make this documentary about Norma McCorvey would have a political agenda here. But I really like your take on it, which is she was a tough lady. She was unfiltered. Maybe she did say things at the end. Maybe those things are being twisted. But even so, you can't take away the great work that she did for so long and work that you were involved in, Flip. We gotta pause it there. But thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Michael.
Reverend Flip Benham, go check him out all over. You know, you'll see him on a lot of appearances and also Operation Save America. Flip, thank you for the work that you're doing, and thank you for shedding a little bit of light on the real story about Jane Roe, Norma McCorvey.
God bless you, Michael. Thank you.
God bless you. All right, we got to take a quick break. We've got so much more to get to, but we'll be right back in just a moment. I'm Michael Knowles, filling in for the Ben Shapiro Show. Do not touch that radio dial. We'll be right back.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
We've always had villains to face.
Bad guys to take down. But you are the most horrible of all.
We're not here because we have to be.
We're here because we've had enough of you.
We all have the power to do something.
To stand up to cancer.
Every single one of us is mortal.
But inside of us, we're all heroes.
So stand up with us. Stand up to fight.
Stand up to cancer. Visit standuptocancer.org to learn more.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles filling in. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. You can find me at the Michael Knowles Show podcast. Minneapolis burns. Minneapolis is burning down because of riots that have come in response to this video. It's gone viral. This is the police-involved killing of George Floyd. I think we, at this point, we've probably all seen the video. People are talking about this mostly from a political perspective or a social perspective or the perspective of civil unrest, I've heard very little analysis on the actual killing itself. I've heard very little analysis from the perspective of law enforcement or the actual arrest. Fortunately, we are joined now by someone who can offer some of that perspective, a very prominent YouTuber who is also or was a patrol officer and SWAT team member, now serves as public information officer. This is Officer 401. You've probably seen the videos. If you haven't yet, we will get a law enforcement perspective on the arrest itself. Officer 401, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me, sir.
So, Officer, when you look at the video itself, can you take us through what the arrest should have looked like, what it did look like, what you're seeing that maybe the rest of us who are just laymen or civilians are missing?
He was very calm. It was there was no rush to render any sort of aid to him or to check on his well-being. I'm not sure what he was waiting for, but the fact that his knee was on this guy's neck for an extended amount of time is completely unacceptable. You know, once he was secured properly with handcuffs, he should have been at least rolled over to his stomach, if not picking up off the ground and put on his feet.
When you see these videos, you just never know, because there have been cases where people have said this is a clear example of police brutality, and then some new evidence will emerge, and you say, oh, okay, actually maybe it wasn't police brutality. But this one seemed pretty clear cut. I mean, it seemed like the officer was clearly in the wrong here, and that seems to be what you were observing as well. How prevalent is this? What should be done in this case? What is usually done in this case? I mean, can you pull back the curtain a little bit on maybe what comes next?
Well, you know, I recently, actually yesterday, I put out another video about, you know, the perspective from cell phones doesn't always tell the entire story.
Yeah.
You know, there was a recent case in Delaware where somebody recorded a man that was apparently being beaten by two police officers. And when you watch the actual body cam footage that was released after that, it tells the entire story. Unfortunately, with the case with George Floyd, really no matter which angle you look at it, it's wrong, and it's a sad day for law enforcement. And you know, you hear, you know, people saying that cops have each other's backs and this and that, and that's really not true, because even today, you know, being at the police department, everybody's just shaking their heads at how negligent this was for that officer, and how it paints a depiction for all of us when that's very much not the case.
That does seem to be why these particular very sad cases crop up so much and become sensationalized. It seems they become sensationalized precisely because they are rare, you know, and you don't see viral videos of the vast majority of law enforcement officers who are doing their jobs and keeping communities safe. You know, even getting past the prevalence here, or, you know, how widespread a problem is, because I think the statistics are pretty clear on it. What do you make of images that we saw last night of the police precinct burning to the ground, you know, rioters burning the place down, and the elected politicians basically saying, yeah, officers should stand down, abandon the building, and let the riots burn?
Well, it's kind of, you're kind of between a rock and a hard place. Well, I am, as far as my opinion, just because I understand why people are protesting. I get that. I think that people have gotten to the point where they feel that their voices aren't being heard loud enough, so they're going to extreme measures to make sure they're heard. Unfortunately, those extreme measures are costing other people's lives and livelihoods that had nothing to do with the incident. You know, you have to judge the officers on a case-by-case basis. You can't do it, you know, as an overall. And certainly burning down a police department is not going to be beneficial to your cause.
Right. Very quickly, you know, we've got about 30 seconds left, but I know that this officer who was involved has now been arrested. He's going to be charged. You know, what is the crime, or how do you see it playing out?
I see it as homicide.
Homicide.
I mean, there really, to me, there is no other way. I mean, it's murder all day long. There is no other way. You know, I've been doing this for 12 and a half years. I have experience on SWAT. This all day long, to me, is murder. He never even checked the well-being of his suspect, and that's our job. When we have somebody in custody, it is our responsibility to ensure their well-being and safety.
Yep. It seems pretty clear-cut, but I'm glad that we can get the perspective of someone who actually knows what he's talking about here to back that up. Officer 401, go check him out. on YouTube. The videos are very informative. Officer, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much for having me, sir.
All right, we got to take a quick break. I'm Michael Knowles, filling in for the Ben Shapiro Show. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. You can find the Michael Knowles Show all over the place, Daily Wire and elsewhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premium is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell Branch Manager, NMLS number 1067640, PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579 or go to richforreverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us. 949.
There's no doubt about it. The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. And as some businesses gradually open back up, customers want to remain safe. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool for businesses that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, allowing brick-and-mortar businesses of all sizes a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. Texting is a more powerful way for local businesses to adapt to the new normal. Podium even assists in accepting safe, no-contact payments. Podium is making it easier than ever for businesses of all sizes to get started with their new starter package. Within minutes of signing up, your business could be texting. Go to podium.com/news. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. That's podium.com/news today.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles filling in. I'm the host of the Michael Knowles Show podcast. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. We are taking your calls right now. So do call in at 855-236-3228. That number, 855-236-3228. Let's turn now to Aiden in Warsaw, Indiana. Aiden, you're on the air.
Hey, Michael. How's it going?
Going very well.
My question is regarding conservative censorship on social media.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people recently, a lot of leftists make comments that conservative censorship isn't real. And so I want to know why the left continues to use this tactic, knowing that conservative censorship is obviously real.
Sure. Well, the leftist tactic in PR crises generally is deny, 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 and then when you finally have to admit it's true, then you say it's old news. This was perfected by the Clintons. They'd always say, no, this never happened, no, this never happened, no, this never happened, oh, come on, that's old news, move on. That's where we got moveon.org. It was about moving on from that. So that's what they're doing here. The way they can get away with it, at least within their own circles, is because I'm still on Twitter. Right. Ben Shapiro is still on Twitter. Donald Trump is still on Twitter. Now, all of us at various times have seen social media censorship. I remember in 2016, I was booted off of Twitter for Election Day, just for 24 hours, for making a joke about the election, making a joke about Democrats. And a lot of other people have done this, too. The people who have actually been fully deplatformed, you can really count them probably on one hand, maybe two hands. But there haven't been that many, so it hasn't become such a huge uproar. But the way that the left censors you is not necessarily by kicking you off permanently, at least not if you're a blue check mark or one of these more public figures. It's by limiting your reach. It's by shadow banning, which we saw is going on and certainly has gone on in the past. It's by putting a warning, a fact check on your tweet. So President Trump, for instance, a few days ago, makes a perfectly 100% factually true statement about the perils of mail-in voting on a wide national scale, on the fraud that takes place. We know it takes place. We've got new cases in just the last few days. We've got thousands of cases in recent years. And Twitter puts this little fact check. And it's just a little exclamation point. It says, this may not be true. This is disputed, whatever. And so it's not fully censorship. What it's saying is, hey, maybe you shouldn't believe this. Hey, maybe you should believe this other thing. And ironically, in that case, what they were pointing to just is not true. Then today you saw Twitter blocked out the president's tweet. The president said there's too much violence going on. We've got to stop the violence. Twitter censored that tweet by saying that Trump was glorifying violence. Actually, he was doing the complete opposite. So but what Twitter will do is they'll say, look, you can still view it. But we're going to put a warning, and you got to click a link, and you got to go to another page. But you can still view it, so we're not really censoring you. And what all of that does is it gets conservatives to think twice before expressing their opinion. What all they say, is it really worth it? They're going to suspend my account for 24 hours. Is that really worth it? Oh, they're going to put a warning. They're going to say that I'm spreading an untruth, a lie, a conspiracy theory. They're going to put the word a liar or a conspiracy theorist in my Wikipedia page. It's going to, maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe I'll phrase it differently. And this has been going on with conservative commentators for a very long time. Now they're even doing it to the president. I mean, consider how crazy this is. We are in a situation right now where some billionaire Silicon Valley guy named Jack Dorsey, some nobody, some jerk, who started the, what has now become maybe the major public square, certainly among the top three. This guy is able to make the president of the United States think twice about what he says, the duly elected president. You know, in a democratic republic such as ours, speech is politics. That's why we have such robust protections for speech, is because the way that we conduct politics is by persuading our fellow citizens, by having debates, by convincing each other of things and passing laws and enforcing those laws and using our voices to elect certain politicians and representatives. When you've got some random tech billionaire, some tech oligarchs controlling speech in this country, even to the point of censoring the president of the United States, that is an unacceptable situation, and I don't care what excuses the left makes, and I don't care what legal arguments the right has to make. That cannot go on. We've got to stop it. The left doesn't want us to stop it because social media is a lot of the reason that Donald Trump got elected. He's talked about this in the past. The fact that he can now speak past the gatekeepers of the mainstream media directly to the people is a huge part of the reason why he was elected in the first place. And the reason they're censoring him now, right before the election, is they don't want a repeat of 2016. Well, we've got to use the political power available to us to stop that. Great question. Let's turn now to Peyton in Santa Rosa, California. Peyton, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I've never been on the phone with a man that's earned every and deserved every cigar he ever smoked.
Well, I very much appreciate it. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm over here by Nancy's district. I'm just trying not to step on human feces to get on the phone with you. Ooh, sick burn. Okay. Knowles, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't help but notice the hypocrisy that the same leftists, the same, you know, Democrats that are in my face and in the face of everybody when we go out to Walmart, but won't, you know, saying you need to wear a mask when you're out in public because you're being quote unquote harmful to the community. And then they turn around the next day and they go take a bus into a city that they're not even from to burn it to the ground and literally destroy that community for a crime that nobody in that community committed except for a bunch of scumbag cops that need to go to jail more than they do. How do we deal with this sort of hypocrisy that just is like, it's worse than the coronavirus. It's a cancer and a plague. And how do we deal with that type of like, just like it's crazy.
It's a great observation.
You'll yell at me for not wearing a mask, but you're going to go and you're going to burn down 100 buildings because somebody you don't know died.
This was, I think, the best observation of this whole rioting that's going on is someone said, oh, I guess we're done with social distancing now. Oh, I guess this is not I guess the pandemic is over. The lockdown's over, because what they're telling us is that unless we wear a mask to, you know, even if we're standing 6 feet apart, even if we're in the middle of the woods on a hike, if we don't wear a mask, we're going to infect people and kill everybody. But if you go out and burn down a city and you've got hundreds or thousands of people around each other, you're totally fine. It does expose that hypocrisy. It's not enough, though, merely to point out the hypocrisy. It's not enough merely to point out that the media are the ones who are pushing this narrative, who are selectively choosing these cases and blowing them up and sensationalizing them and causing real damage to American cities. It's not enough to point it out. We need to know that. We need to know who the adversary is, but then we need to be able to use what power we have to stop it, because we can yell about the hypocrisy until we are blue in the face. They don't care. The media know that they're being hypocritical. They know what they're doing. Don't forget, in that press briefing just a couple weeks ago, there was a CNN reporter, right? And she had the mask on for the cameras when she was asking Trump a question. Then the minute she thought the cameras turned off, what did she do? She took the mask off. She doesn't care about wearing the mask. MSNBC sent that reporter into the field the other day to shame people for not wearing the masks in public. And he was wearing his mask on camera. He said, people here aren't wearing masks. And then one of the people not wearing a mask pointed out, he said, your cameraman's not wearing a mask either. And the reporter didn't know what to say. And he said, oh, yeah, well, no, you're right. The cameraman's not wearing one either. Because the people who were pushing this didn't really believe it themselves. They were just using it as a political cudgel. That's why we've got to use what power we have to shut this down. You know, when social media comes after us and censors us and tries to stop the conversation here, we shouldn't tie one hand behind our backs, say, well, we can't actually stop you from censoring us. No, the left is using what influence they have, whether it's hypocritical or not. The right should be able to use influence to stop that sort of hypocrisy. And so that means getting a little bit down and dirty in politics. Politics is not a pure, abstract, philosophical business. It's a real tough business where you've got to deal in the real world. I think conservatives used to be very afraid of doing that. I think in the Trump era, they've become a little bit more comfortable with it. Don't forget, this is all happening because of November. This is all happening because of the elections. Coincidentally, all of the media has totally focused its attention to stoking these racial resentments right after it seemed that the coronavirus pandemic was coming to an end and the cities and the states are starting to reopen. I mean, almost to the day when that stopped being the focus, they moved on to this thing. They are going to be stoking resentment all the way up until November, and we've got to use what tools we can to stop that. Not merely point out the hypocrisy, but accept it and fight back. A great question. Let's turn now to Jason in Washington. Jason, you're on the air.
Hey, so I'm kind of concerned that we're teaching young men to not be brave and not be manly and be weak. I think society needs to change how we're asking young men to act.
Yeah, I'm honored and flattered that you would ask me this question. You know, I'm not exactly a hulking Olympic athlete here, okay? I'm not, and yet, in this culture, in the land of the blind, I guess the one-eyed man is king. So I will attempt to answer your question on how to make society a little bit manlier. The reason that we're seeing a kind of a decline in manliness, which includes, by the way, gentlemanliness, which includes chivalry, the reason we're seeing a decline in that is not an accident. It's not a coincidence. It's that we have been told by the left for years now that masculinity is toxic, that manliness is toxic, that men should not be men, that men are bad, that there's a patriarchy and it's all evil, and men should be effeminate in some way. And that just isn't true. Men should be men. Women should be women. Men should be men. Now you've got a political side in this country that denies that those categories even exist when it's convenient for them. Then at other times, they say that men are terrible and we need to believe all women when it's convenient for them. And then at other times they say we shouldn't believe all women when that's convenient for them. It's a lot of hypocrisy, obviously. And you're seeing real world effects. Everyone was talking about that Central Park story. You know, the woman was walking her dog and then the man approached her and then the woman had a bit of a breakdown and then the man's filming her and then the woman says she's going to call the cops and say an African-American man is accosting her, right? Everyone looked at that through a racial lens, through the kind of liberal racism of the woman, or even at the racism of the man, because he used a term that admittedly, even the New York Times said is a racist term. He called her a Karen. I think maybe the more interesting way to look at that is through the lens of sex and changing sexual mores. Because if you take the racial stuff out of it for a moment, if you take all the others and you just look at it from a gender perspective, what happened? A man walked up to a woman in a park, asked her to do something. She said no. He reached into his bag and said, well, then I'm going to do what I want, and you're not going to like it very much. He had dog treats in his bag that he had there exclusively to lure people's dogs away if they weren't on leashes. Tried to lure her dog away. She became very emotional, some might say hysterical, and then he started filming her. And then she said, please don't film me, and he kept filming her. Regardless of any other aspect of the story, that is creepy behavior. That is unmanly behavior. That is ungentlemanly behavior. Okay? Men should not behave that way to women. We have this understanding that manliness is toxic. The old understanding of manliness is that there's a good kind of manliness, which is virtuous. Actually, even the word virtue comes from the word vir, which means man in Latin, right? There's a link between these things, but we've lost a sense of that. What the left told us is that when men stop acting like men, they'll all of a sudden become really good and wonderful. And what we found out is that when men stop acting like men, it's not just that you lose some machismo and bravado and chauvinism. They become even worse. they're like the worst version of themselves at all. We need to reclaim that connection between manliness and virtue. But what that will require is for society to understand that we need to order ourselves toward virtue. And unfortunately, right now, there are many people in this culture who deny that virtue exists at all and who would claim that vice is virtue. That's a deeper question than just pointing out that men are not women and differences in gender. That's a question about who, what the human person is, what morality is, what virtue is in the first place. And as you can see, the height of moral discourse in this country now seems to be just burning down cities. So I don't know that we're exactly ready for that conversation. Unfortunate. A really great call, though. We have got a lot more to get to, but we are going to have to take a quick break. In the meantime, though, this break is a great opportunity for you to head on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher or YouTube or Facebook, whatever, wherever you get your podcasts, type in The Michael Knowles Show and subscribe. We would really, really appreciate it. And, you know, if you wanted to leave a five-star review, too, that would be great. That would be fabulous. Otherwise, head on over to Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. I'd love to hear from you in the break. Unless you're driving. Don't do it while you're driving. That would be very unsafe. We don't need any more craziness going on in our cities. I'm Michael Knowles, filling in for The Ben Shapiro Show. We will be right back after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back...
So what's scorecard scribblings all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday night from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
Are your tax problems keeping you up at night? Hi, Tax Owl here from the Coast One Tax Group. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, take 10 minutes and call Coast One Tax Group. It could save you 93% or more. Coast One Tax Group helps people all across America save big amounts of money. David from California saved $48,000 on back taxes. James and Lisa from Dallas saved $102,000. Call Coast One Tax Group now at 888-337-6949. A 10-minute call could save 93% or more. So who are you going to call? Coast One Tax Group, that's who. See how much you can save. The consultation is always free. What are you who waiting for? Relieve your tax stress today. Call Coast One Tax Group at 888-337-6949. That's 888-337-6949.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles filling in. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. You can find me at the Michael Knowles Show podcast. We are taking your calls, so call in at 855-236-3228. What's that number? That number again, 855-236-3228. We turn now to Jordan in Michigan. Jordan, you're on the air.
A couple months ago, prior to this whole Wu flu, you know, I thought that, you know, the Trump economy was doing great. I thought we were finally winning the cultural battle. And I think in the last week, I don't know if it's just the media, but I'm starting to feel very worried about his chances in November, you know, with this mail-in voting fraud, the fact that they're just blatantly censoring his tweets now, you know, the race hustling that the fake news is just, you know, taking part in every single day while at the same time ignoring the blatant racism of Joe Biden. I mean, I don't know if I'm just making this up in my head, but I'm starting to get very worried about President Trump's chances of reelection. What are your thoughts on that?
You should be. You should be really worried, because I think you're noticing a lot more things than people are. I think this is how people look at it. They say, oh, Trump's doing a pretty good job. You know, at least this is what conservatives think, and I think a lot of people in the middle too. Yeah, Trump's doing a pretty good job. Too bad for him, though, that they had that lockdown, because it crushed the greatest economy in the history of the world. But, you know, okay, maybe he'll still be okay. It's too bad for him, though, that there are these now riots breaking out in different parts of the country and they're burning down cities. That's too bad. But, you know, maybe he'll still be fine. It's too bad for him that, and that, what a weird coincidence, Twitter just started censoring Donald Trump. They're even censoring the White House now. Wow, that's too bad. As though there were not a connection, right? You don't need to be a conspiracy theorist who thinks that George Soros cooked up the coronavirus in a lab somewhere and released it just to beat Donald Trump. You don't need to be a conspiracy theorist to think that the reason that the mainstream media played up the lockdowns, played up the threat, was because of a political agenda. You don't need to be a conspiracy theorist to point out, wait a second, Andrew Cuomo did a terrible job in New York, and his policies are responsible for killing thousands of senior citizens. And Ron DeSantis did a great job in Florida, and actually Florida is doing much better than most other states, but he's not getting credit. And yet the mainstream media are hailing Cuomo as a hero and DeSantis as a villain. You don't need to be a conspiracy theorist to realize that there's probably a political agenda here. The thing you've got to remember is that Donald Trump was never supposed to win. He was simply not supposed to win. You had analyses coming out on the mainstream media on the eve of the election in 2016 that said Hillary Clinton has a 97% chance of winning, 99% chance of winning. Of course Hillary's going to win, Donald Trump. It couldn't happen. The reason he wasn't supposed to win, the reason they knew he wasn't going to win, you had the Obama administration spying on his campaign. You had the media pushing polls about this. You had think about this. You had the Democratic Party paying for Oppo research from the Russians, so actually colluding with the Russians, then funneling that information bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton and the DNC to the Obama administration's FBI and DOJ to then launch surveillance on Trump's actual campaign. Then when he won, shockingly, wasn't supposed to happen, they moved to impeach him immediately. Representative Al Green, the congressman, not the musician, came out and said, we've got to impeach Trump because I fear if we don't impeach Trump, then he might win re-election. They spent 2.5 years and tens of millions of dollars investigating Trump for Russian collusion. They came up with nothing. Then what did they do right after that? They immediately turned and tried to get him for colluding with the Ukrainians, which actually boggles the mind when you remember that Russia and Ukraine are at war. They said, okay, it didn't work with the Russians. Let's try with the Ukrainians. They went after him for that. They actually did impeach him. That failed, too. They have been gunning for this guy time and time and time again, relentlessly, using not just a few biased reporters, but the entire weight of the mainstream media. Then when that didn't work, the entire weight of the federal bureaucracy. Then when that didn't work, the entire weight of the social media, because that was Trump's angle, right? That is actually how Trump explained his victory in 2016. He said, I use Twitter because I'm able to speak directly to the American people. I don't need to go through the gatekeepers of the mainstream media. I'm talking directly with them. You've heard people from YouTube and other social media companies who said that Trump's ground game on social media was just better. He just got social media better, even in terms of paid advertisements, in the way they used it in 2016. The Hillary campaign couldn't compete. And there are a lot of people on the left, a lot of powerful people, too, who have never forgiven social media for that. And so they're going to make sure that they don't do that again. That's why they're censoring Trump just a little bit before the election. That's why they're not censoring the Ayatollah of Iran. They're not censoring people calling for violence. They're not censoring the thugs who are actually organizing riots. They're not censoring Antifa, right? They're not censoring these guys for calling for violence. They're actually censoring Donald Trump, even as he is discouraging violence. That's their game. The one thing we can hang our hopes on, though, is the incompetence of the left. Don't forget, we were just talking to Andrew Klavan about this. Part of the reason that Richard Nixon won in 68 is because of the craziness and the violence caused by the left. I think there are a lot of leftists right now who are saying all of this violence, cities burning down, this is going to help our guy. This is going to help Biden. It's going to hurt Trump because Trump is the president. I don't think so. I don't think when you've got actual civil unrest, chaos in the country, fires raging, riots going on, I don't think that people all of a sudden want to elect a doddering, senile candidate like Joe Biden. When you see a place like Minneapolis, Democrat mayor, Democrat senators, Democrat governor, didn't even vote for Reagan, only state that didn't vote for Reagan in 84, a blue state up in flames, I think that actually might help Donald Trump. I think the chaos that they're ginning up in the media might end up backfiring. We can only hope on their incompetence. I'm Michael Knowles, filling in for the Ben Shapiro Show. We'll be right back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com, I'm Rhonda Rockstrom. President Trump says he talked to members of George Floyd's family today and expressed his sorrow. During a White House meeting with business executives, Mr. Trump said the government's getting involved in the investigation.
I've asked that the Department of Justice expedite the federal investigation into his death and do it immediately, do it as quickly as absolutely possible.
The president says violent protesters should not be able to hijack the grieving of Floyd's death.
We have peaceful protesters and support the rights for peaceful protesters. We can't allow a situation like happened in Minneapolis to descend further into lawless anarchy and chaos.
Meanwhile, an APM curfew has been imposed in Minneapolis, but it's not being enforced. Similar protests are happening around the country. Outside the president's door on the north side of the White House, Secret Service and protesters are tussling with each other. There's also pictures of riot police stationing themselves in cities like Bakersfield, California, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, even Dallas, Texas. President Trump says the U.S. will cut its funding of the World Health Organization, saying it's not adequately responded to U.S. demands for accountability on the coronavirus.
Because they have failed to make the requested and greatly needed reforms, we will be today terminating our relationship with the World Health Organization and redirecting those funds to other worldwide and deserving urgent global public health needs.
Mr. Trump said Chinese officials ignored their reporting obligations to the WHO and pressured it to mislead the world when the virus was first discovered. Meatpacking plants that had to briefly close due to coronavirus outbreaks have been back up and running for weeks, but production backlogs are now forcing farmers to euthanize thousands of hogs that can't be processed. News and analysis, townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief, it's natural pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager, and we just launched a new Pragertopia membership called Pragertopia Unlimited. Members can listen to any and all audio programs that are in the Dennis Prager store. That's over 400 programs to choose from. Show segments, talks, lectures, courses, even full access to all 5 books of my Torah teaching. For a limited time, an annual Pragertopia Unlimited membership is only $119. Join Pragertopia Unlimited today. Go to Pragertopia.com.
There's some progress with new drugs in the battle against lung, prostate, and colon cancer.
Doctors are reporting success with newer drugs that control certain types of cancers better, reduce the risk it will come back, and make treatment simpler and easier to deal with. One study found that a daily pill of a gene-targeting drug greatly improved how long people with one form of lung cancer lived without their disease returning after surgery and chemotherapy. Other studies found benefit from a hormone-blocking pill for men with advanced prostate cancer. The studies will be discussed this weekend at a cancer conference being held online because of the coronavirus. I'm Shelley Antler.
Governor Andrew Cuomo says New York City is on track to begin reopening June 8th as the state gradually loosens restrictions put in place during the pandemic. Also Friday, a large swath of upstate New York got the go-ahead to reopen hair salons, retail shops, and offices under strict guidelines. More at townhall.com. An influential Christian conservative has passed away.
The Reverend Louis P. Sheldon, who founded the Traditional Values Coalition, died on Friday. He was 85. An unapologetic Christian conservative, Sheldon lived in California but commuted weekly to Washington and was close to political leaders.
Keith Peters adds that Andrea Shelton Lafferty, who currently heads the Traditional Values Coalition, says, "My family and I will miss him. He was a great pastor to official Washington and all who knew him." A survey by the Campgrounds of America found the COVID-19 crisis created a lot of new campers. New retail data backs that up. In 2 weeks ending May 2nd, sales for camping basics, including tents, jumped 30%. That according to retail tracker NPD Group. Sales of travel books, road maps, atlases also soaring, as are sales of RV equipment. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Either it will come to you. Obviously, we've got a great American city burning down right now. We've got riots and protests cropping up in other places around the country. And so the problem I have with all of this is because I'm basically 12 years old, I really have no historical perspective on what these things mean. So I've invited my oldest friend onto the show so that he can hopefully give us a little bit of historical and political perspective. That person would be the host of The Andrew Klavan Show, the author of many excellent books, novels, a memoir, The Great Good Thing, and the writer of Another Kingdom, which I happen to voice, the great Andrew Klavan. Drew, thanks for coming on.
Hey, it's good to see you. When you say oldest friend, you don't mean friend for the longest time. You mean the friend who is the oldest.
Right? I want to be very clear. I am talking about my friend with the highest number when he fills out his age on government forms.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a scroll down to the date of birth, about 3 minutes, right?
So, Drew, I'm sort of half joking here, but I am half serious in that I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. A major American city is burning to the ground right now, and these similar riots are cropping up in other cities around the country. Back in 1968, I was nothing but a little glint in my father's eye. You were around for that, though. I mean, you did live through the kind of craziness of the 60s and those political revolutions. What's your take on all of this?
Well, I mean, the one thing that really is weird is and very, very different is this mainstream idea that somehow there's something all right about this.
Yeah.
There's nothing all right about looting. There's nothing all right about rioting. I saw on the news where it said something like angry demonstrations. These aren't angry demonstrations. This is looting and rioting. I mean, this is why Richard Nixon won like every state in the Union, including Canada.
Yeah.
You know, this is the kind of thing that really, you know, gets law and order candidates elected everywhere. But what I was not true back then, what was not true back then was that the mainstream, the media was sort of cheering it on. And the idea that somehow this is forgivable or understandable or good for the community. I mean, this is, you know, Riots, the terrible, terrible thing about riots is that most of the people who live in these communities are decent people trying to make a living, trying to do what we're all trying to do, live a life. These people humiliate them by making people think, oh, this is what this is like. It's a bunch of guys running into Target, stealing things and burning down police stations. And that's not what the neighborhood is like. That's what these few people are like. Plus, I seriously do not want to spread fake news in any way, shape or form. But just watching these things, awful lot of young white guys wearing masks in these riots,
yeah,
which makes me think that there are outside agitators in these neighborhoods, you know, Antifa or something like that, moving in and pulling this off. I'm just appalled. I'm appalled that you can open the New York Times or go look on CNN, Mrs. Brian Stelter on CNN and see people. See people actually sort of saying there's something justifiable about this. Not at all saying there aren't troubles between black communities and the police. Obviously, that's all, true. I'm not saying anything about the killing of this guy, which looked like pure incompetence on the part of this police officer and unjust. And I don't mind blaming people for being angry about it and upset. But these are riots. This is looting, and there's nothing forgivable in the least about it. And, of course, the people who get hurt most are the people in the neighborhoods.
That's right. And I have noticed a little bit of a shift even in just the past couple of days. I tweeted out yesterday. I said, here's my hot take on the situation. Looting is bad, right? I was sort of joking about all the opinions that are going around. I kid you not, that was a controversial opinion. There were many people, blue check marks, who came and said, you don't understand, murder is also bad. I said, right, what does one have to do with the other? I think they can both be bad things. Then the cities started to catch on fire because of these rioters. And I received a message earlier today, which I think gets to your point about Richard Nixon's election, people maybe seeing this has gone too far. I got a message from a guy. We went to high school together. I didn't know him very well. And I noticed he'd sent me a lot of, angry hate mail over the past year or two. God, maybe he's listened to my show or something. And all this really angry stuff. He's very much on the left, doesn't like what we talk about. And then he sent me a message last night. He goes, I think you're wrong about everything, but I am shocked that mainstream journalists are encouraging riots, are encouraging looters. How on earth am I agreeing with you, a conservative, here? I mean, what do you think the political implications of Minneapolis burning are going to be as we head into this election?
Well, look, this is a moment. The one thing that the Chinese flu has revealed is that this is a moment of French Revolution level disconnect.
Yeah.
Between elites and ordinary people.
Yeah.
You've got Stephen Colbert, like some ermine-clad prince, collecting $15 million a year in his apartment, wondering why people want to go back to work. Why can't they work like I'm doing fine. Why aren't they doing fine? He's making fun of ordinary people who need to get back to work so that their dreams don't collapse, so that their lives don't collapse. You got Steven Pinker, this incredibly intelligent,
professor. Yeah.
Yeah. Saying only these stupid evangelicals who believe in this afterlife business are want to go back to normal life, as if the economy weren't crumbling under their feet. And now you have people rioting and the same thing. You have, Brian Stelter, I hate to hit a lady, but still, Brian Stelter is out there, and all these journalists going like, well, it's because we don't treat these people properly. Who can blame them? Who can blame them for burning? They're burning Target. They're not burning Tiffany's. Right. They're not burning Cartier. They're burning places where actual human beings go and shop.
Right.
So, I do not believe that the Democrats are going to be able to hold Minnesota if this is the way they govern it. And you can go on TV every single day and say this is Donald Trump's fault. But a lot of people right now are thinking, Trump sounds a lot more like I feel than Joe Biden. Joe Biden basically came out with the Obama playbook insofar as a potted plant can continue to speak. He came out and gave the Obama playbook. This is systematic. He said, we've seen this twice in 5 years, so therefore it's systematic racism. That was the Obama playbook for 8 years, the way he ginned up racial tension to distract from his incompetence. That's what the Democrats are offering us back. They're offering us back guys who make excuses for looters and rioters and people who burn cities. And by the way, I don't think black people love to see their neighborhoods burned down. I don't think this is, you know, they may have different perspectives on it than white liberals and than white conservatives. They may have different perspectives, but any positive perspectives. It's not like, yeah, let's have more burning and more of our stores gone and more places where we can't buy food and more reason for businesses not to move into our neighborhoods. So I think that there is a serious, serious disconnect between elites and human beings in this country that is going to come to fruition somehow, whether it's going to be in an election or in some other kind of, eruption. At some point, you cannot have journalists and late night comedians and movie stars talking into the ether as if anybody is living their life. You know, nobody else is living their life. They are incredible millionaires protected from the, you know, shocks of life. And the rest of us are out here living life. And I just think eventually you just become alienated from everyone.
I think the French Revolution comparison is actually really great because I think let them use Zoom is the new let them eat cake, right?
That's
I mean, you know, for most people who go to work, they can't just Zoom in like investment bankers who are staying in the Hamptons to be outside the city during this pandemic. You know, most people actually have to show up to work or they don't get paid. And there's a big disconnect there. And I think you're right. You know, Donald Trump is the president, but I think people right now in Minneapolis are probably looking around and saying, well, we got a Democratic left-wing mayor. We've got Democratic left-wing senators, Democratic left-wing governor. We get the state is so blue that it's the only state in the country that didn't vote for Reagan in 84. Ronald Reagan won 49 states, but Minnesota was so blue that it didn't vote for him. It's hard to tell how it's going to play out, in part because we now have one of the big tech giants actually censoring the president of the United States and actually censoring the White House. You've been talking about this a lot recently. What's your take on the executive order?
Oh, Trump is 100% right, and conservatives have got to get their heads out of their wazoos on this. The Wall Street Journal, ran this piece kind of dithering, oh, how can we do this? If we stop, if we take away 230, there's going to be all these problems. Look, I'm not a lawyer. I am not a lawyer. Absolutely not.
It's the nicest thing you can say about you, actually. Andrew Klavan, at least he's not a lawyer.
They wouldn't let me become a lawyer. They said, no, you're much too decent a human being. We're not going to allow you to become a lawyer. But common sense tells me if this is the public forum where Americans speak, their freedom of speech has to be protected in that forum. So we cannot let these things are virtual monopolies. Twitter is a virtual monopoly. It has a virtual monopoly on where we go to speak in the public square. You cannot be censoring the president of the United States in that on that monopoly. They should be shut down, and this should be done in any way it's possible to do it. If it means breaking them up as a monopoly, that's fine. If it means getting rid of their protections of 230, that's fine. I don't care how you do it. I'm not the guy to work that out. But it's got to be done. And the fact that conservatives are not rallying around Trump and helping him think it out, you know, helping him figure out how to do it rather than saying, oh, this can't be done. What a dumb guy Trump is. That's ridiculous. It has to be done. You have to be allowed to speak on Twitter, just like you have to be able to search on Google and find good information. We cannot let when did giant corporations get to take over the First Amendment? It's insane.
Well, when you think about it, in our constitutional republic, speech is politics and politics is speech. That's why we protect it so much. If you're in a situation where a handful of big tech billionaires are able to censor the duly elected president of the United States and are able to censor the office of the White House or the office of the presidency, right? The actual White House account. You're in a situation that is simply unacceptable. I love your take on this. I spoke to Senator Ted Cruz about this yesterday on our show Verdict with Ted Cruz, and he had exactly the same take. I said, should we break them up as monopolies? Should we take away their 230 protections, which, you know, gives tech platforms certain privileges that publishers don't get? Should we do this, that, or the other thing? And he said, well, Michael, yes, 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 right. Any way to do it.
Well, if even for 3 minutes I'm as smart as Ted Cruz, it's a good day for me.
Yeah, I think that's right. what do you make, though, of some people who are on the conservative side who say, you know, we've got to watch out because if we act in a way now to stop big tech from censoring us, then further down the line, the left is going to censor us, which is already, I guess, happening.
It's already happening, first of all, and it's part of this thing. There's two things going on that are kind of coming together in a malignant way. One is that there are a lot of conservatives who really dislike Donald Trump. And listen, I understand that. He's an eccentric guy, a difficult guy. He's a big guy. You know, yeah, he's a big American with big American flaws, and I get all of that. But that's on the one hand. They have this visceral dislike of him. And the other is conservatives have a tendency to disappear up their own fundaments in like little theoretical logical worlds that have nothing to do with where we live here in the real world.
Right.
And those two things are coming together. So Trump says it and they immediately try to think of why it's wrong. But this is a situation where Donald Trump is exactly right. And there's no, you cannot sit around. this drives me crazy because this is the thing that conservatives don't understand. They don't understand that the press, the entertainment business, and now social media are the problems.
That's right. They're the opponent.
That's the opponent. They're the ones trying to beat us in elections. They're the ones trying to shut us down. You know, even some of our friends in conservative media, and out of loyalty, I won't mention their names, but in some of the biggest conservative media around, they start to tremble, their knees start to knock together when somebody says, oh, well, this person, said something about gay marriage, was opposed to gay marriage, or this person,
right.
Didn't sign on to left-wing race theory. Actual right-wing media says, well, we'll get away from that controversy. So in other words, they're essentially ceding the victory. They're ceding the battle right away. If we can't say what we have to say and withstand being called hateful by a group of people who call everybody hateful when they disagree with them.
And who have no credibility.
We can't withstand that. The argument is over.
Yes,
that's
right.
The argument is over. We're not fighting over anything. What are we fighting for? You know, like a little less regulation, a little more capitalism, a little slower descent into insanity and leftism? No.
What good is that?
We have to fight this battle.
That's right. Yep. Well, on that note, I'm going to have to censor you because we're up against the wall. Andrew Klavan. He is now a fully censored Andrew Klavan, the host of The Andrew Klavan Show, author of The Great Good Thing, author of Another Kingdom, author of, I think, like 750,000 other books. Go check them out at Andrew Klavan on Twitter. Drew, thank you for being here.
Great to see you.
I'm Michael Knowles. I'm filling in for The Ben Shapiro Show. Do not touch that radio dial. We will be right back.
Whether you need it to cool off after a workout or warm you up in a hot bath, your tap water is there when you need it. It is even used to produce your morning coffee, the clothes you wear, or cleaning the fruits and veggies you like to snack on. Your water utility works hard around the clock to ensure high-quality drinking water is there when you need it on demand. To learn about your water's journey from source to tap, contact your local water provider. Visit drinktap.org to learn more.
Furnished by the American Water Works Association.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles filling in. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles, and you can find me at the Michael Knowles Show podcast. A lot of the talk over the past few days is about how big tech is trying to undermine and censor President Trump and this White House. And one story that's been kind of blown out of the news conveniently is how actually that attempt to undermine the president has gone a lot deeper than just some big tech companies. It's gone all the way to the upper echelons of our federal government. The unmasking of Michael Flynn, the spying on the Trump campaign, the politicization of the DOJ and the FBI. Here to help us shed a little bit of light on what went on is Matt Whitaker, the former acting attorney general of the United States and the author of Above the Law, the inside story of how the Justice Department tried to subvert President Trump. Matt, thank you so much for being here.
I am glad to join you today. Thank you.
So I am so eager to hear this story. Unfortunately, I don't have a copy of the book yet, but I'm really eager to read the book.
Well, you need to get one.
I know. I do need to get one. No, I'm really eager to read this book because this is a story that has been banned from the airwaves, more or less. The mainstream media have tried to cover this up, and obviously the bad actors in government have tried to cover this up as well. And you had as close a look at it as anybody, and obviously have been involved in trying to shed light on that. Can you tell us what we don't know, what's coming out now and what we're not hearing?
Well, I think we need to understand that there's a way to do investigations at the Department of Justice. It's obviously the policies and procedures are very clear, and there is no doubt, everything we've learned to this point, that those rules and regulations and procedures were not followed in this Russia collusion fable investigation. And I think this book that I wrote is the first time that much of these stories have been strung together. Mm-hmm. When you take what happened to the president in the Michael Cohen situation, when they made him essentially unindicted co-conspirator, which again, I explained in the book, was inconsistent with the way things are done at the Department of Justice, with the way Michael Flynn has and continues to be treated, with this judge in the District of Columbia that is, creating extrajudicial proceedings. I mean, I think each one of these instances is where regular order wasn't followed. The Carter Page FISA, the renewal of the FISA statute, all of these things I've consolidated and tried to put all in one resource in this book, a historical accurate accounting, kind of the first 2 years, a year and a half of which I was there, not only as chief of staff to General Sessions, but I was acting attorney general for 4 months. And so I try to put it all together, resource it, put the references so the reader can follow along and string this together. And really for the purpose to make sure this doesn't happen again to an American citizen or another president or candidate for president.
When you mentioned these individual episodes, it occurred to me as they were happening, I thought, that seems a little weird. That seems like maybe the DOJ isn't acting the way it should have, or the FBI, or all of these little incidents seem to add up to a much bigger story. And that's the story that you're telling in the book. Will the bad actors here be brought to justice. I think a lot of people are clamoring for that. They want them to be held accountable, and we're not seeing a whole lot of that.
No, and this is the thing that I heard everywhere I went after I left the Department of Justice last year, and that is when will somebody be held accountable? We know that this happened. We see these bad actors, three of which are on the cover of my book, Jim Comey, Andy McCabe, and Pete Strzok. And so I think that day is coming. I'm actually optimistic that John Durham, the U.S. Attorney out of Connecticut, who was asked to look into really the entire Russian collusion investigation, where there was never any evidence of collusion, and at every turn there was not evidence, but the investigation trucked on for almost 3 years. And, you know, I think it's very important that people are held accountable. I also think it's important that we hang a lantern on their behavior, and that's one of the purposes of my book, is to demonstrate where these bad judgment was exercised, bad decision-making, the law was broken, rules were broken, so that people can understand, you know, how we got to the point where, you know, the Mueller investigation dominated the news cycle every day for 2 years.
Right. That's right. And I think this is the key here, because you're not going to see anyone held accountable until people know the story. And I think part of the way that a lot of these bad actors in government have gotten away with these outrages over the past few years is that it's kind of complicated, and it's kind of hard to see the relationship of one episode or one incident to another one. But I'm really pleased that you wrote the book. I can't wait to read it myself, and I just really thank you for all of the work you've done. We're up against a wall here, but we have Matthew Whitaker, the former acting attorney general of the United States. Thank you so much, sir.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. We've got a whole lot more to get to. We've got to take a quick break, though, so do not go anywhere. I'm Michael Knowles, filling in for the Ben Shapiro Show. A lot more coming up. Don't touch that radio dial.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757. What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
California lawmakers created a new statute in 2018 preventing public employers from disparaging unions. The statute was designed to undercut the 2018 Supreme Court Janus decision, which gave public employees an opt-out right from paying any union dues. Now, seven elected officials in California are suing the California Public Employment Relations Board for violating their First Amendment rights of free speech. Well, Pacific Justice Institute will provide free legal help to any employees who, as a matter of conscience, seek to opt out from paying union dues.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
And 49.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles filling in. I'm host of the Michael Knowles Show podcast at the Daily Wire. And you can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. Did Twitter break the law? A lot of people are asking that question these days. And one person is pointing out that they may have broken the law in a way that that others haven't mentioned. Twitter may have violated U.S. sanctions against Iran. The person leveling that charge is one of the great podcasters in America, host of one of my favorite podcasts, actually a podcast that I co-host. And, oh, yes, also, he happens to be a U.S. senator. I'm joined now by Ted Cruz. Senator, thank you for being here.
Michael, my friend, great to be with you. And I got to say, you're ubiquitous. You're on the Michael Knowles Show. You're on the Ben Shapiro Show. And I think most importantly, you host with me the Verdict podcast. And in fact, we got a brand new episode up today that folks should go to verdictpodcast.com and listen to.
People have to go check it out. You know, we I feel like basically we just talk to each other all day long, 24/7 now, because, you know, you've been on this topic of Twitter, of big tech censorship for years now. And there is huge news coming out of this executive order, how that's going to deal with Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. It's a little bit of a confusing topic. We just did a full show on breaking it down, what the legal arguments are, the personal connection, your conversations with the Attorney General, with the President. It was a really great episode to record with you, and it is up now, so go check it out, the Verdict podcast. Now, you're making news again, Senator, because you have sent this letter today to the Justice and Treasury Departments calling for a criminal investigation of Twitter over this allegation that the company is violating U.S. sanctions against Iran. Could you tell us a little bit about what Twitter has done and how to fix it and how to stop it?
Well, sure. So federal law has for a long time prohibited U.S. companies from helping, assisting, or working with the totalitarian terrorist regime that controls Iran. In February, I joined with several senators, wrote a letter to Twitter asking about how they're helping the Ayatollah Khamenei engage in anti-Semitic threats and threats against Israel, engage in oppressing his people, how that complies with U.S. sanction laws. Last month, they wrote me a letter back saying essentially, well, they didn't want to comply with it. They thought it was more beneficial to help this jihadist terrorist speak, and so they were going to allow him to speak. And so today, I asked the Department of Justice and the Department of Treasury to open a criminal investigation because whether Twitter agrees with the law or not, no U.S. company has the ability to ignore federal law that was passed by the president, actually signed by Barack Obama. It wasn't even Donald Trump who signed the law. Barack Obama who signed the law.
Wow.
And Twitter is just openly ignoring it.
The condescension, the arrogance of these big tech companies is really stunning because the interaction is basically, yes. Hey, guys, I think you're violating the law. And they say, what law? Who cares? The law is for little people. The law isn't for big tech companies like us. You know, this ties in directly with what they've been seeing over the past few days. Twitter doesn't want to kick off the Ayatollah of Iran. Twitter doesn't want to kick off people who are actual enemies of the United States. Twitter doesn't want to censor them, doesn't want to add fact checks, doesn't want to do anything. But the moment that the duly elected president of the United States says something that contradicts the political narrative that they want, not only are they going to add a fact check, quote unquote, but they're actually going to censor what he's saying. They're actually going to censor the White House account itself.
No, that's exactly right. So 2 days ago, Twitter decided to put up a, quote, fact check of the president pointing out that mail voting increases voter fraud, which happens to be indisputably correct. But Twitter cited to a CNN fact check because CNN is such a credible nonpartisan site, and that is dripping with sarcasm as I say that. In response to that, the president issued an executive order making clear there will be legal consequences to social media companies not behaving as neutral public forums, but instead engaging in active censorship. I think Jack Dorsey, the billionaire owner of Twitter, got mad at that. And so last night, they actually blocked the president's tweet. And then the president was calling for law enforcement to stop the rioting and violence in Minneapolis. But Twitter didn't like how he said it, so they blocked it and said, this violates our terms. And think about the contrast for a minute. Twitter is willing to promote, to facilitate the Ayatollah Khamenei calling for the death and destruction of Israel, wildly anti-Semitic, laying out their plan to destroy Israel. Twitter has no problem with that. They'll put that out in direct violation of U.S. sanctions law. But when it comes to the president trying to stop violence in a major American city that is burning as we speak, then Twitter's going to step in and censor and say, whoa, Mr. President, you don't get to speak because we, the almighty tech billionaires, don't like what you're saying.
You point out the absurdity, the irony here, that of all the things that have ever been tweeted, that the first one that Twitter wants to, quote unquote, fact check on the president is something he said that is indisputably correct. And then the first tweet that they want to actually censor, to say you can't look at this, if you do want to access and see the tweet, you've got to click this button and it's going to take you to another page. They characterize that as condoning or encouraging violence, when actually what the president was doing was discouraging violence, was saying there's too much violence and we need less violence. One thing that you have been doing now for years is providing the arguments for why this conduct by big tech is unacceptable. You know, I think a lot of us know in our gut that this is not acceptable. Speech is politics. Politics is speech. And these guys are controlling speech and censoring it and really tilting it in one direction against the other side of the aisle. But we haven't been able to articulate it. You've provided these arguments here. Now, I guess two laws that they might be violating or abusing, Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act and these U.S. sanctions against Iran. What do you think is going to be the mechanism here by which big tech finally starts playing by the rules and stops abusing its power?
Well, Michael, I think you raise a very good point. A lot of conservatives, a lot of libertarians are conflicted, are not sure what to do. They see the censorship. They see that that when they're trying to speak on social media, they get silenced. But at the same time, we see conservatives and libertarians who understandably are A, skeptical of government. That's always a good skepticism. Yeah. And B, say, well, they're private companies. Let them do what they want. And what that ignores is a couple of things. Number one, these big tech companies aren't just any private company. They have become monopolies. Google is a monopoly. YouTube is a monopoly. Facebook and Twitter, the amount of power those four companies, and YouTube is owned by Google, so really those three companies, the amount of power those three companies have amassed is staggering. And if they were just one player among thousands and engaged in speech and allowing speech, that would be fine. But they have become the platform, the vehicle for everybody to speak. So as a policy matter, if we give those monopolies the ability to silently suppress any speech they disagree with, which they're getting more and more brazen. Think about it for a second, Michael. Yeah. If they're willing to try to censor the president of the United States, how the hell is an ordinary Joe supposed to speak? How is Michael Knowles supposed to speak?
Exactly.
Last I checked, you don't carry the nuclear football. You just happen to have some views that these nimwits disagree with.
That's right.
And if they have the power to silence Donald J. Trump, what are the rest of us supposed to do?
That's the key word, brazen. I don't have a particularly high opinion of these big tech oligarchs, but even I didn't think that they would presume to silence the president of the United States and the White House account itself. But they are doing it. It's, it seems clearly tied to the run-up to the presidential election. And obviously, we've got to stop that. I do, in the last minute or two we've got here, I do want to get your opinion on another issue that's come up. I know you have been leading the fight in the U.S. Senate to stop China's aggression, China's outrageous actions in the United States, infiltrating Hollywood, broadcasting their propaganda into California, into my own state that I'm in right now. You know, one area of undue influence that China has been exerting is on the World Health Organization. They more or less took over the organization, as they have to a lot of other international bodies. The president has just announced that he is going to withdraw U.S. funding from the WHO. Your reaction?
The president is exactly right to do this. The WHO has become a puppet, a mouthpiece that parrots the propaganda of the Chinese Communist government throughout the course of this coronavirus pandemic. The WHO was more interested in protecting China than in actually keeping people safe. And so back in January, when China was covering up this pandemic, was hiding this pandemic, the WHO was echoing their lies. So mid-January, the Chinese Communist government says the coronavirus cannot pass from human to human. What does the WHO say? The coronavirus cannot pass from human to human. Now, we know that was crap. That was a lie that endangered people, but it made their communist overlords happy. I think the president is exactly right to say the United States is not going to foot the bill for a mouthpiece for communist propaganda, and I'm glad he pulled out of the WHO.
That's right. And the WHO, in spreading that propaganda, really exacerbated this problem, really abdicated their responsibility. I mean, their behavior during this pandemic has been atrocious, and I agree with you entirely. I think this was the right move. I'm very glad that it happened. And, you know, if you want to listen to some more analysis, a little bit deeper analysis on the WHO, this is something we've talked about on the Verdict podcast at length, so you can go back to some prior episodes there. But I would also really encourage people to listen to the episode that just dropped probably as we're speaking. I mean, I think it's just dropping right now, and it's on this issue of big tech censorship, on the executive order, on how to fight it. You know, I can express my own opinion.
And Michael, remind me, how high has the Verdict podcast been ranked?
You know, it's so funny you ask that, Senator. I believe, and I'll just check my records here, I jumped to number one on all the charts everywhere. So, you know, Joe Rogan, if you're listening, look, that's just what the numbers were. You can check it out. We really appreciate everybody who has subscribed and go check it out now, because, you know, I can give my opinion on what I think about these things. But, Senator, you were able to back it up with a whole lot of legal analysis, political analysis, and obviously everything you're doing in the Senate. Ted Cruz, Senator extraordinaire, and I would say possibly more importantly, podcaster extraordinaire as well. Senator, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, my friend. God bless.
All right, you too. Senator Cruz, go check out that show. You know, really, really important stuff, and he gives a great behind-the-scenes look at what's really going on. All right, we got to take a quick break. I am Michael Knowles, filling in for the Ben Shapiro Show. Go check me out on Twitter in the meantime at Michael J. Knowles. We will be right back. Don't touch that dial.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet.
Did you know that the city of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Or your family. Do you feel as if you're being a burden to everyone around you, or that there is no reason to live? If these are your thoughts, we want you to know that there is help understanding the warning signs of suicide, and resources available to you could save your life. Suicide is preventable, and SAVE can help. To learn more about suicide prevention, visit save.org.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. I'm Michael Knowles filling in. You can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Knowles. I'm also host of the Michael Knowles Show podcast. Big news coming out of the Department of Education. Specifically, the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights has found that a high school sports policy in Connecticut, which allows boys to compete against girls, boys who identify as girls have been allowed to compete against the girls in girls' sports, and guess what happens? The boys win. They found that that policy violates Title IX. violates protections for women on the basis of sex. This is a big political issue that has erupted, whether protections on the basis of sex protect sex or gender identity. The idea that if you're a boy, you can identify as a girl. Obviously, that would undermine protections on the basis of sex. And that's the argument that's been happening for many months, and I guess over a year now. I think at this point, I've got to give Madeline Kearns a co-host credit on this show, because it seems like every time I fill in for Ben, this issue crops up. There's some news that develops. So we are joined now by Madeline Kearns, the William F. Buckley Jr. Fellow at the National Review Institute, who has written extensively on this case and on this topic. Maddie, thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks, as always, for having me.
Maddie, can you tell us a little bit about what this decision means? This is a decision from the Office of Civil Rights at the Department of Education. So this is different from the same issue being debated in the courts. What's going on here? What does it mean for the issue more broadly?
Absolutely. So first thing to note is this is actually quite a complicated issue because, as you know, there's different tracks, if you will, so use that metaphor. And this track is the administrative track. And what the executive branch has done through the Department of Education is signaled that, yes, indeed, this is a violation of this federal statute as they understand it. Now, of course, if we are to redefine the meaning of sex, that is for Congress or the Supreme Court to do, but the Department of Education has found that, yes, it is denying girls of their protected rights when you allow boys to compete in sports and inevitably beat them in sports. And so it is a big it's a big boost for morale, I think, that this has been decided in this way. But it's certainly not the end of the story. Those three tracks could converge at some point. We've been keeping our eye on all of three of them, so we'll just have to wait and see with regards to the lawsuit.
Because we've seen, I mean, it seems pretty obvious, I think, to a lot of people. It doesn't seem as obvious to left-wing lawyers, but it seems obvious to a lot of people that if you have Title IX to protect girls' sports and to make it such that girls don't need to compete against boys and almost certainly lose because boys are physically stronger than girls, if you then let boys compete against the girls, you've completely undermined Title IX. So it seems very clear, and it makes sense for the administration to come to this conclusion. But, of course, it's going to continue to be fought in the courts. Does the decision by the Office of Civil Rights at the Department of Education affect the way the courts are going to think about this, meaning courts very often will defer to some of these executive agencies? Is that going to play a role here when the Supreme Court, for instance, makes its final decision, or are these tracks really completely separate?
I think the answer is not necessarily. So it sort of depends on the argument and the finding of the justices. I mean, what is interesting is that obviously, Obama, during the Obama era, we had guidance issued in 2016, which was joint guidance from the Education Department and Department of Justice, which many have, which said that it was fine to have boys who identified as girls competing against girls, and many then cited that as their excuse for having various, bathrooms and all sorts of problems. So it does actually crop up in the courts from time to time, but I don't think it's in any case a clear-cut decision that will have knock-on effect. I think it really depends, and so far they are pretty separate. And so the case of the three Connecticut girls versus the boy athletes and the school boards is still ongoing. So we're still kind of in the midst of that, so we'll just have to kind of wait and see.
You know, it seems like the momentum in the popular culture is moving in the direction of redefining sex to not be sex, you know, to redefining it such that a boy can say he's a girl and then he'll be considered a girl by the law and by the government. And yet there does seem to be a pushback. I mean, I talk to people and it seems like this might be a bridge too far, you know, when you're getting to the point where boys who have boy biology are beating girls in sports and taking away their scholarships and taking away their trophies, that's a place that we don't want to go. They say that the Supreme Court watches the election returns and the Supreme Court reads the newspapers, and the Supreme Court is making these judgments probably too much so in recent years, according to the popular culture. Do you have any read on whether anything has changed so far in this case and in other cases? You know, for instance, the Harris Funeral Home case, where it's dealing not with girls' sports but with how sex protections are applied to employment. Is there any news on that, or is it basically the Trump administration is pursuing one angle here and the Supreme Court has remained more or less unchanged?
It's a great question. I think with regards to the Harris Funeral Homes case, which is looking at this issue in regards to employment, we're really waiting to see how they'll decide. I think it really could be any day now. I think it could actually be the earliest Monday. I was chatting to somebody today who's in the know. So I actually think, personally, though, it's slightly regrettable that it's the Harris case that's at the Supreme Court and not this one, precisely for the reason that you just mentioned to do with momentum. I think that this is just so in-your-face, glaringly obvious.
Right.
Hey, wait a minute, it's not fair to let teenage boys beat teenage girls at sports. That's the whole point of Title IX. That's the whole point of having separate sports teams. That, I think, to the American public, is just sort of a no-brainer. The Harris case is... I mean, I think it's a no-brainer, and I assume you do as well, Michael, but it's a bit more complicated when you get in the weeds and you start getting distracted by all these secondary arguments to do with sex stereotyping and so on and so forth. So I am, honestly, I'm a little nervous about Harris. I hope that's just my natural cautious impulse coming through, but I would be a lot more comfortable if it was this case in front of the Supreme Court. But hey, it's not, so we'll just have to wait and see.
You're proving the old adage that the difference between a Scottish optimist and a Scottish pessimist is that a Scottish pessimist says things can't get any worse, and a Scottish optimist says, oh, yes, they can. But obviously things might change here, so we're going to have to bring you back on when that does happen to help us break it down. Thank you, as always, my de facto co-host, Madeline Kearns. You can read Maddie at National Review and follow her on Twitter as well. Maddie, always appreciate your perspective.
Thanks, Michael. Always a pleasure.
All right. So a lot more to get to, obviously, as the world burns, as the country burns, specifically as Minneapolis burns, but we'll just have to pause it there. I'm Michael Knowles, filling in for the Ben Shapiro Show. See you next time.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Protests are spreading across the country, some relatively peaceful, others more violent. It's all been in response to the death of George Floyd, a black Minnesota man who died while in the custody of Minneapolis police. The officer who had his knee on Floyd's neck before he died has been arrested.
Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin is in custody. Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin has been charged by the Hennepin County Attorney's Office with murder and with manslaughter.
That's the Hennepin County Attorney, Mike Freeman. An 8 p.m. curfew was in effect in Minneapolis, but it wasn't enforced. Police and National Guard troops not on the scene. Other protests in cities like Dallas, Los Angeles, Brooklyn, Washington, D.C., there's a confrontation at the White House north side between Secret Service and protesters. Vice President Pence says there's no tolerance for racism or violence inspired by racism.
During a visit to Atlanta, the vice president condemned the violence in Minneapolis and elsewhere. He offered prayers for the families of victims, stressing the right to peacefully protest, but the need for law and order.
That's Greg Clugston on the trip with the vice president in Atlanta. The Senate's top Republican calling for unity amid violence on the streets of Minneapolis and his own home state of Kentucky.
McConnell is condemning the violence in Louisville, where seven people were shot Thursday, as well as Minneapolis, after video of a fatal police arrest went viral. In a statement, McConnell says, quote, "Violence does not make our streets safer. Injustice does not promote justice." Speaking to reporters, he also criticized police officers in both cases, saying the video makes them look, in his words, pretty darn guilty. McConnell also says he supports an investigation into the death of Breonna Taylor, the woman who was shot at her home by plainclothes officers executing a no-knock search warrant. Bob Agnew reporting.
News and analysis at townhall.com.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Not every retailer has suffered during the coronavirus pandemic.
Big Lots first quarter sales rose 11%, with same-store sales climbing 10.3%. The discounter stores have remained open during the pandemic, with many consumers shopping for essentials. While sales are up strongly for the second quarter to date, Big Lots says it anticipates those sales moderating due to factors including Rivals reopening, the planned cancellation of its July friends and family promotion, and weakening stimulus-driven demand. Rich Thomason reporting.
Large cruise ships will continue to be prohibited from operating in Canadian waters until at least October 31st because of the pandemic. The order applies to cruise ships with overnight accommodations, more than 100 passengers and crew. Vessels with more than 12 passengers will be barred from going to the Arctic. This is townhall.com. A lack of social distancing comes back to haunt.
Health officials in Missouri say a person who attended crowded pool parties over Memorial Day weekend at Lake of the Ozarks has tested positive for COVID-19. The Camden County Health Department issued a public release because mass numbers of unknown people need to be notified. According to a timeline released Friday, the unnamed resident of Boone County in mid-Missouri made stops at a bar called Backwater Jack's, which has a pool, dining and pool venue Shady Gators, and the adjacent Lazy Gators. The individual tested positive for COVID-19 on Sunday. I'm Mike Gracia.
The NCAA has released a long and detailed plan to help schools bring athletes back to campus during the pandemic. The move comes as schools across the country prepare for the return of athletes as early as June 8th. The NCAA last week lifted a moratorium on athletic activities starting on Monday. Check out more on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
...140 over there, and the police department, assault on Precinct 3, apparently burned the precinct. The mayor, he drew the police out to turn it over to the protesters. It's Baltimore all over again. Madness, madness, madness. And on MSNBC, the President of the United States is now advocating the gunning down of Americans for property crimes. It's got to be true. It's on NBC News. They're reporting it. It's right there. Well, good Friday. Happy Friday to you. It is wacky country these days, isn't it? So I'm fond of saying, because it's true, the left is the third world. If the left takes over a country, they turn it into a third world country. If the left takes over a city, you know, it's harder in America because of our economy and inertia and things, but they turn it into a third world city. And the left yesterday, I mean, honestly, they've got this guy. Have you seen this guy, this little dandy they've got as the mayor of Minneapolis? It is a terrible, terrible situation. He is, he told the police to evacuate the precinct and turn it over to the rioters and the looters, and it was naturally sacked and looted and burned. The police station was in Minneapolis. And that was Ellie Velci at MSNBC last night, NBC News, saying, really, it's not very unruly. He said, this is what the news media is telling us. It's not unruly. And the President of the United States sent out a tweet last night, and his tweet, he's wagging his finger at the Democrats in control of Minneapolis and of Minnesota for not doing enough to control the situation. And he said, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. When the looting, that's what he said in a tweet. He said, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Now, that has, of course, been interpreted in the most, and Twitter, by the way, put a freeze on that. They put a, they stopped it. They blocked it. You have to go through an extra step to get to that tweet because it violates their policies. Apparently, they interpreted the phrase, when the looting starts, the shooting starts, to be, and this is what MSNBC is reporting this morning, that the president is now advocating gunning down Americans for property crimes. You see, that's their interpretation of when the looting starts, the shooting starts. It's quite remarkable. It's not a reference to the fact that there was looting and people had been shot, you see, and that the situation is not under control. The situation is out of control. They drew the police out of the riot zone, and just as they did in Baltimore. Remember Stephanie Rawlings Blake, the mayor in Baltimore? We had the Freddie Gray riots and the local heroin dealer and all that stuff. And she drew the police out and said she wanted to, what was it, Michael? She wanted to give them the space. Want to give them the space, I think was the line.
We tried to make sure that they were protected from the cars and the other, you know, things that were going on.
The police.
We also gave those who wished to destroy space to do that as well.
All right. See, that's Stephanie Rawlings Blake. Is she in prison or something? Is she in a penitentiary now? And very corrupt. So that was a really good call by her, and then the city was sacked. And they did the same thing last night. Apparently, they did the same thing last night, the Democrats in Minneapolis, and it worked out real well. There's an old movie. There are two versions of the movie, Assault on Precinct 13. That's what it's called, right? The first one was kind of like a horror film, and then the next one was, there are two of them where the mob overruns a police precinct building. And that actually happened last night on live TV. And now let's go back to Ellie Velci again. I want to play that soundbite again of Ellie Velci because this fake news reporting is the most dangerous and sinister thing in our culture right now. But we're turning into a third world country. It's happening right before our very eyes. And the total, not erosion, but the total absence of any sense of law and order or political leadership, adult leadership. The police there are just, I feel sorry for the police there. Everyone should resign from the police department today and just walk away. At CNN, the biggest story of the day is that one of their reporters was arrested, and it's racist. He was briefly detained, actually, and it looked like a pretty stupid thing to do. The guy was being perfectly reasonable. Seems like a very nice guy. And the state police put some of the zip cuffs on him. And took him down to the station with his cameraman and his sound man and their giant mountain of a security guy, since they're out there in the middle of the riots and stuff. So CNN's big story is that they're the story. It's important to keep in mind, you know, what the news is. And their reporter was in between police lines, and state police put the zip ties on him and took him away, along with three other people, his crew, a sound man, a cameraman, and a security person. And they briefly at least arrested them. Didn't look necessary to me, I've got to say. But that's all that CNN is about today, because it's about them. Let's not forget what the real story is. The real story is them. on MSNBC and on CNN, they're fanning the flames of racial division in a really huge way. Everything is about race. The only thing they see is race. It's not that they see race first. It's the only thing they see. When they think it through, they come back and still all they see is race. They say they've got a reporter. The CNN reporter was arrested briefly by the state police, state patrol, and brought down to a metropolitan, to the Minneapolis Police Department, where they were for about an hour, and then they let them go. And CNN observed that they had, and this reporter is a reporter of color. And he does. I watched him after he was released, and I watched him being arrested, and he seems like a perfectly nice guy. And it did seem it seemed unnecessary to arrest him under the circumstance. But it's not the biggest part of the story, I got to say. The looting, the hundreds of buildings burning, it's happening all over the city, not just where the news media is. And CNN said they had another reporter a block away who was two blocks away. They said two blocks away. And somehow he wasn't arrested. And they say, the other guy, he was right. He was white, rather, and he wasn't arrested. But the guy who's a reporter of color, you see, he was arrested. Therefore, you know, the police are all racist. Omar Jimenez was the CNN reporter who was briefly taken into custody without any event. And then the other reporter named Josh, he was at another location. And he's white, and Josh Campbell, that's his name. And he wasn't arrested, ipso facto proof of police racism. And they were in different locations. They were surrounded by police from different agencies. But none of that matters because they paint with a very broad brush, and it's pretty predictable where they're going with all of this. Now, just that said, only scratching the surface on only one of the stories, but it is the biggest story today. Most certainly. We are at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. And, I'd love to hear from everybody. I mean, I'd love to hear from police. I want to hear from black people today. I used to do shows years ago where we would only take black callers and no white callers. We called them the racist hour because no white people would be allowed on the air. And this is a situation where, honestly, I'd like to hear from African Americans, from people of color, because, you know, that's been redefined in a variety of ways, about this whole thing. You know, obviously, the killing of this man, George Floyd, is a horrible, terrible thing on camera. The police officers are going to be charged. The mob demands that they immediately, and the prosecutors in Minnesota and Minneapolis are not responding quickly enough to the demands of the mob. Now, the prosecutors yesterday came out and held a press conference, and it was kind of a silly press conference, but they made it clear that they didn't want to recklessly stumble into this and overcharge the officers, as they did in Baltimore, for example, in the Freddie Gray case, where they put six different police officers on trial in the Freddie Gray case, and because of the reckless handling by the Democrats in Baltimore City, all six police officers walked, and that was not satisfying to the mob. But they were trying to appease the mob when they charged all the police officers. They overcharged them. They were overzealous in the charges, and that is in large part why all six police officers walked in the case of Freddie Gray and the death of Freddie Gray, allegedly in police custody. And so it's like that. It is a fascinating world every day. I don't know what to tell you what's going to happen next. But here's my prediction. Today the officers will be charged. Today the officers will be charged in response to the mob, in response to the mob violence. And also I think they've just kind of thrown up their hands in Minnesota, and they've turned in Minneapolis in particular, but beyond. And they've turned the situation over to the mob. The mob demands blood. The mob demands it now. And when the prosecutors come out and make a very reasonable case for being methodical and going through the process and making sure they check all the boxes and cross the T's and dot the I's so that they don't do what happened in Baltimore, and that's what they're saying, the mob doesn't care. The mob could care less. They really. Man. Also, there was a, I was passing around yesterday, and I shared it with someone sent it to me, or a friend sent it to me, and I sent it to Michael and to Victoria. A video of a CBS News piece from Dallas, what was it, last year or 2 years ago. Police officers apprehend a guy. They cuff him. They kneel on him. It turns out the guy had mental issues. He had called the police on himself. He was off his medication. The police took the man into custody. They cuffed him. They put him on the ground. Police officer kneeling on the suspect's back, and they killed him. They killed the guy. Was killed. He died. And the police were joking about it. Even when they looked and noticed he wasn't moving, and said, oh man, did I kill him? And they're laughing and stuff. Now, see, that wasn't a big story, and there are no riots because the man that was killed was white. And so that's not a case that CNN is going to take up. It's not something that's going to lead to riots. It's not going to lead to the assault on Precinct 3 that we saw last night. It's not going to lead to any of that. But yesterday I mentioned also in, what was it, Frederick, Maryland, a couple of years ago, a grown man with Down syndrome who was in a movie theater and stayed in his seat after the movie had ended. First off-duty police officer working as security for the theater, and then more police officers went in to remove the man with Down syndrome because he hadn't paid for a ticket for the next movie, and he ended up dead. Now, he was Caucasian, and he had Down syndrome. The other man in Dallas, Caucasian, and the police kill many more white people every year in conflicts than African Americans, but those don't make the news because they really don't. I mean, they just don't make the news, certainly not in the same way that these types of stories do, and I think it might have something to do with the political agenda of the Democrat Party and the left, keep in mind, they're not liberals, this is the left. Liberals are dead in America. I'm like the last liberal, and you people are liberals compared to these. The left is as illiberal as any group of people you're going to find. You know, we stand up for the principles of the Enlightenment, for the love of Mike, and for the Bill of Rights, and for actual equality under the law, and for fairness, and for due process. See Brett Kavanaugh and Covington Catholic and Nick Sandman and on and on. And this has been this has really been something to watch. And it's not over yet. Although I do suspect that they're going to rush now and charge the four police officers, perhaps to their detriment and to the detriment of the case. But I suspect that today, in an effort to stave off a repeat of last night for tonight and tomorrow night, that they're going to rush to judgment. They're going to hurry through, which is what they said they wouldn't do yesterday. And they will charge the police officers today, because the blood-drenched mob in the street, the violent mob in the street, the lynch mob in the street demands this, okay? And this is the left that I'm talking about. There were people protesting who were civil and who were sad and who were crying and had signs and had candles and were being reasonable. You didn't see them on the news media because there were other people over here that were sacking and looting and plundering and trying to bust open the safes and the cash registers and stores with hammers and stealing everything and TVs and computers and everything else. But according to the news media, this is all justified. This is all legitimate. And honestly, I mean, I have audio I'm going to play for you today. How dare the police not attack peaceful protesters in Michigan at the State House, some of whom were actually carrying rifles. But MSNBC and CNN, they believe that the police should have, I guess, started a gunfight with them or something because they were peacefully walking around. Not looting. They did have rifles protected by the Bill of Rights. That Bill of Rights is not a thing at CNN or MSNBC. And they were peaceful. You see, that's the difference. But at MSNBC, that causes a great deal of confusion. They're easily confused. Do you see the signs in the windows in Minneapolis? This is a black-owned business, meaning don't loot us, leave us alone. Just get the white ones. And how about shoot the white folks? You see the shoot the white folks? But none of that is going to be on. Got a lot of stuff to get to today. We're at 888-630-9625. Then there's Twitter and the president. Oh, man. Oh, stay right there.
There's only one, Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
Cars today are like computers on wheels, but you can't fix any of the new features yourself, so when something breaks, it could cost you a fortune. Now's not the time for expensive repairs. That's why you need CarShield. CarShield has affordable protection plans that can save you thousands for a covered repair, including computers, GPS, electronics, and a lot more. CarShield understands payment flexibility is a must. Plans are customizable and as low as $99 a month. No long-term contracts or commitments. Plus, you get to pick your favorite mechanic or dealership to do the work, and CarShield takes care of the rest. They also offer complimentary 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while yours is being fixed. CarShield is America's number one auto protection company. For as low as $99 a month, you can protect yourself from surprises and save thousands. Call 800-CAR-6000 and mention the code PLANT, or visit CarShield.com, use the code PLANT to save 10%. That's CarShield.com, code PLANT, a deductible may apply.
At CDW, we get that businesses will try anything to increase productivity.
We try to increase productivity by putting energy drink in our water cooler.
Slow down, friend. A better idea is to have CDW deploy new devices powered by 8th generation Intel Core V Pro processors.
I get it. Why can't you talk faster?
For productivity solutions, you need Intel and IT orchestration by CDW. Find out more at cdw.com/begreatmaketheshift.
You remember when your mom and dad talked about the importance of having term life insurance? I mean, it felt really good knowing the family would have money after something happened. How do you think they felt? They worked their entire life without truly getting the benefit of having term life insurance? MyTermLifeGuy.com. MyTermLifeGuy.com. You don't have to die to receive the benefits. A $1 million policy for a healthy male, non-smoker, below $35 a month. MyTermLifeGuy.com.
Sponsored by Gold Coast Insurance Group.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. And NMLS number 3030.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
All right, let's go to the telephones. You know, Michael, I think I'd like to go. Let's go to Chris calling from Chantilly, Virginia. Christopher, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
How's it going, Chris? My name is Chris Plant, best host on the radio. Look, what I said to the screener is I just resent the fact that all of us are being forced to even engage. This is a local story. This is one man who died in Minnesota by the hands of another man. We're in Virginia. I mean, why are we, I resent the fact that the media is forcing this down everybody's throat, forcing everybody to take sides and be at each other's throats.
Right.
And this is a local story. Same with the other one. I may be one of the only people on earth who hasn't watched both of the videos in their entirety. I mean, I've read everything everybody says, so I get it. But, I'm in Virginia. How does that affect my life here in Virginia? It doesn't. So, this is a local story. And, of course, this is the media's get out the black vote registration. You know, every year around this time, they figure, well, we got to get out the black votes. And let's just, we'll throw up some cop videos and some, like, random videos of people barking, talking junk to each other in a park.
Yep.
And then that'll excite the black people to go out and vote for us to go save them from all the, the crazy racist white people in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm a black conservative, so I've had to take the brunt of the abuse for telling these truths. But, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Look, you laid it out very, very well. There was violence in Denver last night. There were shots fired in Denver. There were dozens of arrests in New York last night at the clashes there in Phoenix, Arizona, and Columbus, Ohio. You know, this is and you're right. This is the get out the vote, and it's the media. You phrased it perfectly, forcing you to pick sides and putting us at one another's throats over race once again. Because one cop who is white behaved in a way that led to the death of one subject who is black. Now, I mean, again, Chris, I just named a couple of instances around here. And in Frederick, Maryland recently, the Down syndrome guy. I've got another one coming up. In Minneapolis last year, a black cop killing a white woman. Coming up.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Descent is not for HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premi is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, branch manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash.
A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579 or go to richforreverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In June, we're discussing the four-letter words of the writing process. Those are scary words like edit and read and show versus tell. In July, we take a look at marketing and how you can make money with your books.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
For the safety of students, families, and teachers, schools across our country are closing.
School closures can have significant and lasting consequences, particularly for vulnerable students, students who may face hunger, homelessness, and even trauma.
That's where our organization, Communities and Schools, can help. For years, we've had caring adults inside schools helping these students stay in school.
Now, we are taking our work beyond the school walls. Our caring adults are delivering meals, providing household supplies, connecting kids with online classrooms, and using technology to maintain the one-on-one relationships we know can transform the lives of students and their families.
Communities and Schools, going wherever we are needed, doing whatever it takes to empower students to succeed in school and in life.
To see how you can help kids succeed, visit communitiesinschools.org.
All right. Yeah, more than 40 arrested in New York City last night. There were arrests and shots fired in Denver last night. There were riots in Columbus last night. And the news media, and I have the audio for you, but they love fanning the flames, stoking the flames of racial division. The level of fear and conflict and racial animus must be ginned up because it's an election year. And Orange Man Bad, you know, you got to beat him. So that's all his fault. He launched the DOJ, the Department of Justice, and the FBI onto the case almost instantly. He's expressed disgust with it, and it seemed quite authentic, quite genuine. And, you know, and the left sees this, honestly. Then you got the Democrat mayor there who's a little fancy boy, and he's pulling the police out of Precinct 3, which was then overrun and sacked and looted and burned like Visigoths have hit town. I was watching some video this morning pre-dawn. I was up at 5 a.m. watching the live video. Still, the city's still burning all over the place. And and it looked like Indonesia. It reminded me of a third world country, which is what the left converts everything into. And look, the Democrats need racial hostility, and the news media is their vehicle for creating all of this. Joe Biden's not even campaigning. The media is doing the campaigning. The media right now is the Democratic Party, is the Biden campaign. And the Biden campaign and the Democrats, they need to, and then they need to blame Trump for everything, of course. President Trump sent his tweet out last night saying, you know, looting and shooting. And the, the news media, they went and found the police chief of Miami in 1967 or 1968 used a similar phrase or the same phrase. And so now apparently President Trump is a historian or a historical researcher, and he went and found this out, and that's why he tweeted it. Instead of just accepting it at face value and saying, well, the looting had started and then the shooting started, you know, and that means if you allow the situation to get out of control, you don't allow the police to intervene. Who was it? I think it was Dan Bongino I saw last night saying under Rudy Giuliani, the rule was in a situation of civil unrest, riot, first one to throw a rock gets arrested. Second one to throw a rock gets arrested. Then probably not going to be a third one throwing a rock. In Minneapolis, as in Baltimore, they did the exact opposite. They withdrew. They pulled back. They gave them space to destroy. And then the city, honestly, is going to take decades to recover. And this silly little mayor who is just the guy annoys me. He should be working at a black light bar with specialty cocktails. And he was obviously elected because of his hair. And he's not up to the task by a long shot. And, of course, he's blaming everybody else and calling everybody racist. And he's fanning the flames himself of racial discord, racial conflict, because it serves the interests of the party. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to David calling from King William. David, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Morning, Chris. How are you?
Hey, David. I'm great. Thank you very much.
Excellent. I'm a 52-year-old black male. You said you wanted to hear from black males or black people or people of color, so here you go.
Yep. Here you go.
I do not look at this as a systemic problem. This is an interaction between two individuals, one that was black and one that was white. That's as far as it goes. If this is a nationwide sweeping problem where black males are being slaughtered from coast to coast and border to border, then we got a problem. All right, and then we got something we need to talk about. But that's not this. That's not what happened.
Right.
And where I look at it and say, if we have some patience, show a little maturity, and wait to see where the investigations lead. You have every law enforcement officer from the dog catcher in Minnesota to the president of the United States investigating this thing.
Right, right.
So, okay, you know, I understand that people are upset. I understand that they want justice. Justice doesn't happen at the snap of a finger.
And when it does, that's called a lynch mob, all right? That's when it happens.
Vigilante, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And the Democrat Party has a long history of that, but we'll leave that alone right now. You're absolutely right. And justice, I want justice, everybody. But violence in the street and dragging the cops out and indicting them and convicting them immediately is not justice by any Western definition.
No, and here's the thing, Chris. As I said with Kavanaugh, if they're guilty, hang them in the street. Make an example of them. Make sure that no police officer ever does that. Ever again, make their families watch the whole nine yards. I am not partial to one side over the other. Hold on here a second.
Sure.
Good. So where that leaves me with this, where that leaves me with this, is a call for patience. I understand that people are upset. I'm upset too. I've got three daughters. Touch one of them, and you'll be lucky if the police get to you before I do.
Right. Right.
All right. That and I'm saying that as a dad, as a black man with biracial daughters, don't touch my family. Don't mess with my family. But I am not going to go and burn people's houses down. I'm not going to go loot my favorite store to get what I want in the name of outrage and justice. That's not outrage and justice. That's looting and stealing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I got to tell you, and then the little mayor guy there, who is just a joke, pulling the police out of the precinct because he didn't want anybody to get hurt or something. I mean, that's actually the job of the police. And what they've done is, it's, you know, there's a great old saying about the thin veneer of civilization. Well, it's penetrable, and it is vulnerable, and it must be nurtured and protected, civilization itself. And what we're watching is the thin veneer of civilization being peeled away. And what we saw last night was not only not civilized, it was the end of civilization as we know it, if that were to become the national norm. And when you have this little mayor fella in Minneapolis and the police just pulling out, withdrawing and turning the streets, turning the city over to the mob, that is literally the end of civilization in Minneapolis. And this guy, Jacob Fry, the little Mary, he's my best girl thinks he's cute. He looks like Justin Trudeau up in Canada, and he's got dandy hair, and that's why he was elected. And the guy clearly has no chops at all, and he doesn't know what he's doing. He's a feckless little coward, and he's going around accusing people that he's never met of being racist. Now, again, David, if there had been racial slurs hurled by the police officer or something like that, his partner there is Asian American, and now I don't know if you saw this, David. It turns out that the police officer in question and George Floyd, the man that died, worked as security at the same restaurant, bar, club at the same time, and so they may have known each other before this incident took place, which raises some interesting questions all by itself. But nevertheless, and notwithstanding, as they say, you watch what's happening. And then they apparently called out 500 National Guard also, but I didn't see any of them until sunrise this morning. Maybe they were somewhere. But also, it's happening. It's not just in downtown Minneapolis. It's all over the place. It's in St. Paul. It's there. One of the headlines is here, we're headed to the suburbs. That's, you know, it's always, and it's a good idea. Don't burn your own neighborhood. But that doesn't mean that the best idea is to go to somebody else's neighborhood and burn it either. Maybe you should. And let me also say this, David. This is a very loud and violent expression of a total lack of confidence in our justice system on the part of the mob in the street. Now, to some degree or another, at least that's the rationale that's used. And I think that there are a lot of people who don't believe in the justice system. And if they watch CNN and MSNBC, they probably got plenty of reason to not have any faith in the justice system. At the same time, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago in the Michael Flynn case and the railroading of Carter Page and George Papadopoulos and President Trump. There are a lot of people that have no faith in our justice system on a federal level because we've seen the corruption. It's still emerging. It's still being revealed. The corruption on a federal level. And a lot of people look at the local police, particularly people of color, look at the local police and have no confidence, no trust that justice will be done there. Now, that still doesn't rationalize or justify what we saw last night, the night before, in Minneapolis. That said, you know, David, any final thoughts?
Here's the one thing. What they're doing with the riots, what they're doing with demanding that these, you know, the police officer get tried for murder and all of this other stuff before the investigations are complete. They're protesting exactly what they're demanding have happen. They want everything to happen at the snap of a finger right now, but let that happen to somebody they want to defend, and they are going to be doing what they're doing now, rioting in the streets, saying it's an injustice. No. Relax, take a deep breath, be mad, protest, march in the streets. Don't break the law. Don't burn things down. Don't destroy other people's property. You're not bolstering your case, and you're not looking like you are a reasonable person in order to have the dialogue that you demand happen. Who wants to talk to these people?
I saw on CNN and on MSNBC that their anger is righteous, that the cop is racist based on the fact that he's white and George Floyd is black, and that's all they need. That's it. All they see is race and division and ratings. It's a ratings bonanza.
Chris, their anger is righteous. I will give the, I will grant them that all day long, all year long. I'm mad too. It is a righteous anger. There something went wrong.
Yep.
Something happened that on the surface, looking at the video, Chris, was unjustifiable. Okay, there's nobody that's making an excuse for it. So there is a righteous anger component to it, granted. Where it crosses the line is where they start breaking the law to display their quote-unquote righteous anger. The two are not congruent. One negates the other.
And there are like 8 videos of the event and the before and the after and people, you know, citizens with cell phones making videos. And it's not like this is going unnoticed or something. It's not like somebody's getting away with something here. So any claim otherwise would be completely absurd, obviously. David, thank you, my friend.
Let me finish. Can I finish this?
Yeah, you bet.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't speak for all black people. I speak for myself,
mm-hmm.
just for me.
Yeah.
I am not looking at people fearfully. I don't want people to look at me fearfully. But at the same time, to do what they're doing is not putting African-American people, minorities, in a good light. If what they want is respect, dignity, and to be heard, they are working against themselves.
Yep. Yeah, it's a setback. It's not that's exactly right. That's exactly right. David, thank you, my friend. Appreciate the call. Thanks, buddy. Let's go to Bob calling from Spotsylvania. Bob, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Bob.
I am a black conservative Republican, and as a person who is in the media, one of the consistents that we always see is whenever something bad happens in the black community, all of a sudden, networks like CNN and Fox News all of a sudden find a reporter, a black reporter that we've never heard of before.
Yep.
And he's the person who is in the street.
Uh-huh.
And in this case with CNN is the one person in the news media who got arrested so they can make the story all about them.
That's right.
Okay. I mean, where are all these other – I mean, if CNN is going to be the pinnacle – of racial tolerance, where are there other black reporters? Why do we only see black reporters when something bad happens in the black community? I personally was a national spokesperson for Project 21, the black advocacy group,
uh-huh.
and black conservative. And the only two times that I have ever been on CNN and Fox News was about race issues.
Sure.
And in 2005 was during the aftermath and the looting of Hurricane Katrina. And that's when they had me on to talk about race issues. But one thing that I think is really interesting, if you remember a few years ago, a black Muslim cop in Minneapolis killed a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
The media did everything they could to squelch that story,
mm-hmm.
and there was no rioting. White people didn't get all crazy and start burning up burning up their neighborhood.
Well, it was worse than that. Justine Damon called 911 because she believed a woman was being raped in the alley behind her house. She's a white woman. She called 911. She believed a crime was being committed. A black police officer showed up, Mohammed Noor, Somali-American, big Somali-American community there. Mohammed Noor showed up, found the white woman, blonde hair, that had called the police, shot her to death. There was no, I don't think it was even on CNN. Yeah. And there was certainly no riots, no burnings, no police stations overrun, no free TV sets, and no righteous anger on the part of anyone. It was a tragic incident in which an innocent woman who had called the police was wrongly shot to death by a police officer. It had the opposite of the race equation, and that's why nobody's ever heard the story. Isn't it amazing? Bob, thank you very much. I wish I had more time. This commercial break thing. We ain't NPR, you know. We pay our own bills. But we do now also have a resident poet in the form of Michael Piercy. He's not much of a poet, but that doesn't matter much.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
World world is kind of a crazy place these days. When you head out the door, face coverings or masks are everywhere you look. You might have to wear them just to walk into a store, but not all masks are created equal. And we all want the best protection from dangerous particles and bacteria. A highly recommended consumer covering is the Boomer Naturals 30-day, 30-use protective face covering. Made with 3 layers of cloth and infused with nano-silver technology, it can reduce particles getting into your nose and mouth. It's also very comfortable, easy to breathe, and to speak, even for people with sensitive skin. These are in stock now, and they ship straight to you from the Boomer U.S. warehouse. These face coverings can be used up to 30 days. Just hand wash with soap and water at the end of the day. Boomer also makes them incredibly affordable at less than 30 cents a day. Order today at BoomerNaturals.com. Use the code PLANT20 to save 20%. Get free shipping and handling when you order $50 worth. That's BoomerNaturals.com. Promo code is PLANT20 for 20% off. Your source for in-stock face coverings.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you, like your wife when you forget your keys at work.
Hey, hon, you get my texts?
I am looking for the spare house key. Maybe I can get through the window.
Turns out the alarm works. Wow, it works fast. You should probably call me back.
GEICO, always there for you, with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
At CDW, we get that migrating your business to a hyper-converged infrastructure is challenging.
Like me switching to decaf. Gotta do it, don't want to do it, but gotta do it.
Whoa, slow down, friend. CDW's experts can help you simplify the transition from legacy to hyper-converged infrastructure with Dell Technologies solutions that offer speed and agility.
Do it, do it. Have you done it? Is it done yet? Why isn't it done yet?
IT orchestration by CDW. People who get it. Find out more at cdw.com/DellTech.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Hi, this is Annette Benning. I'd like to tell you about a nonprofit human services organization that has been helping everyone in performing arts and entertainment for more than 130 years, the Actors Fund. The fund serves everyone in film, theater, television, music, opera, radio, and dance with programs to support a life in the arts. The fund offers emergency financial assistance in times of need, including help for those in crisis due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Services include health care and insurance counseling, housing, secondary employment, and training services and more, all to help foster stability and resiliency for the people who lift us up and brighten our days through their work, especially in times of crisis and anxiety. To learn more, please visit actorsfund.org.
furnished by the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
Now, the mayor, I dislike this man. His name is Jacob Frey, F-R-E-Y. And Jacob Frey is a silly little man, and what he's doing as mayor of Minneapolis, I don't know. But, boy, they got the wrong guy for the job, I can tell you that much. He's a Democrat, of course. He's a lefty Democrat, and he's not too bright, but he's furious, and he knows that people are racist. He knows that the police officer is a racist because he saw the video, and therefore, this is something that we see over and over again. Lefties can look at still photographs of people on the other side of the world and know what their thoughts are. They have this amazing ability. We see it time and again. They watch a short video clip. They know what people are thinking. Someone says something, they reinterpret it for them because they know what they really meant to say. They do this all the time. But he has come out and said this police officer is obviously racist, and if this man had been white, that he'd be alive. Now, that's a presumption that one might leap to if you're a prosecuting attorney or something. But if you're the mayor and you're trying to calm the riots, that might not be the path that you would pursue. Of course, he's the hero of the story in the news media. The Breitbart people have a fun story this morning. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey, Democrat, requested on Thursday that quote-unquote protesters of the City of Lakes practice social distancing and wear masks in order to reduce the coronavirus transmission. I'm not making this up. This is, he actually did this. The municipal government claimed to provide hundreds of masks to the public for this purpose. Now, wait, is he really saying they went out and distributed masks to the rioters, to the looters, so that they can be less easily identified by videotapes in the aftermath of this, where there is generally no accounting at all? Very rarely do we see anything done about this. But it makes me laugh out loud, as my friend Jeff texted me this morning, said, "Wanna bet there'll be a spike in COVID cases in Minneapolis?" And he said, "Well, hopefully the fire kills the virus," Jeff said. But at the same time, this mayor is just an unbelievable piece of work. I'll say piece of work because I'm on the radio. And he's talking about the righteous anger and the racism. You know, he's not a political leader. He's not a leader of people. He's a Democrat Party bomb-throwing hack, which is just what the Democrats like, by the way. Maybe he'll become Joe Biden's vice presidential running mate when this is all over with. Well, is he a woman of color? No, but that's all a lie, too. Remember that Believe the Women stuff, Pound Me Too? That was all a lie. Everything's a lie. Well, he could become transgender. Did you see that the end? And then he could, like, Rachel Chantel, or, no, excuse me, what's her name? Rachel Dolezal. He could just say that he's black. That works for Democrats. And say that he's a woman. And that works for Democrats, too. They got, like, dozens and dozens of genders to choose from. Amazing stuff. They're handing out masks to the rioters because of the COVID and pulling the police back so they can destroy the police station.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.